right perspective.
He'll never forget this.
Are you mad? Do you feel like Wolf Kebab's right vantage? Get Fennis, big, good, 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 good,
Right perspective.
I'm not crazy.
What is life all about?
I know some things that you don't know.
You're connected with Davis Lerman and the Right Perspective.
Right, whatever.
You are mentally deranged. You suffer from a defective memory.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever.
Can you feel it? Can you feel it?
The Right Perspective.
It will test your head and your mind. Brain, too.
If you don't like it, turn the damn thing off.
The Right Perspective.
Right Perspective.
It's a persistent kind of nagging noise.
That's right.
I just thrilled with the whole idea.
I love it.
Okay, boomer.
Sieg Heil.
Okay, faggot.
The liberal world order.
It makes me cringe.
I'm gripping right now.
Violence wakes people up.
We'll be right back. Stay right there.
Let me go ahead.
Is this a meaningless victory?
It's learning.
You're on your own as usual.
The Right Perspective.
The Right Perspective.
The Right Perspective.
The Right Perspective.
Don't eat me here.
And she's become a phenom.
No. She's right. Right out of Nazi Germany.
She's banned. She's banned. She's banned.
I expect from all women and girls that they will support this fight with an extreme fanaticism as they have so far.
No. She's right.
Thank you.
Right out of Nazi Germany.
Instead, she decides to go racial.
It is not for nothing that you see so many women in our movement and here in this hall, even in a movement that has fought in the most masculine way. You see them here because the feeling correctly tells them this is about the future of our children and thus about the future of our German-ness. And then there is no more wavering, no faltering. No, the feeling is steady. It does not waver and it does not give way. Believe me, a doctor may speak calmly of our hysterical women, but women once brought Christianity to the nations, and they will ultimately lead our movement to lasting victory. And wherever she was missing, not only the woman herself would be missing, but with her also the youth, and thus the future. Be sure of this. The movement that has the fewest women also has the least strength.
Davis Lerman.
Davis Lerman.
So in America, we have this thing called freedom of speech.
Nigger.
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 Nigger. Nigger.
Nigger.
Nigger. Nigger.
Nigger.
Nigger.
Nigger.
Nigger.
Nigger.
Don't say nigger. Say nigger.
Racist.
We're supposed to be living in a democracy.
We're used to hearing that the USA is a cradle of democracy. And in case you might forget, they remind you at every opportunity.
This is not a banana republic. It's the Democratic Republic of the United States of America.
Embattled democracy.
A moment when our democracy was gravely threatened.
What does democracy actually mean? In theory, it's supposed to be the rule of the people. But it seems like around the world, in many different countries, Many feel like the people's will is not being enacted, and they are not happy about it.
Manipulating the Constitution. Manipulating the Constitution.
Effing Jews.
This administration has financed a genocide in Gaza for the last year, and every day you're up there denying accountability for it. So, I mean, what gives you the right to lecture other countries on their moral... So
if you have a policy question for me, I'm happy to take it. If you want to give a speech...
No, but
there,
I mean, people are sick of the bullshit in here. I mean, like, it is a genocide. You are abetting it, and you are risking nuclear war in Ukraine for this
proxy war. Plenty of other places to give a speech. Go ahead.
Gentlemen, this is Democracy Manifest. What is the charge? Taking a pill? A succulent Chinese pill? See that chap over there? Get your hand off my penis!
Suck it!
I don't want thoughts.
Try that freaky, nasty, raunchy, crazy stuff.
Daddy.
How many effing Jews do these people think there are in the United States? Jews are the source of all the problems in the world.
I've had it with kites.
Jews, J-E-W-S. J-E-W-S.
The root cause.
J-E-W-S.
The root problems.
J-E-W-S.
Can you see Jews?
For centuries, they've been stuffing their stomachs with human flesh and they've been stuffing their pockets with money, but they must realize that this ball of vampires is about to end in international affairs.
We see you, we're on to you, and we're going to call this out.
Freaking
nasty, raunchy, crazy stuff.
Try that freaky, nasty, raunchy, crazy stuff.
Davis Lerman.
I could crush a walnut with my vagina.
Ooh, that's so vulgar.
Davis Lerman.
Daddy.
Davis Lerman.
Davis Lerman.
Davis Lerman.
I am not getting excited. I am getting mad.
The right perspective.
Daddy, yeah.
I like when my butthole itches just a tiny bit.
It's learning.
Daddy. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
Yep. It's Lerman.
If I have to, I have to.
Yes.
But I really hate
Davis Lerman.
He likes to stare at crotches.
Mm. Yes, Daddy. Yeah.
Oh, right Perspective Radio with Davis Lerman.
Okay, shout out to G-Man. He'll be getting his oral surgery any day now, and then he'll be back after the 24th, so it's been fun filling in for him during the day, and we continue to keep our schedule at night, so it's 6 days a week, 8 to 11, and of course, sometimes on Sundays, with a new format coming for Sunday, actually. I'm going to take Das Buch, and we're gonna tear it out of Saturday and move it to an upload program, and this way we'll do more film review stuff on Saturday night. The first film we'll review would likely be Jude Seuss, and compare contrast that with a film about Donald Trump and Roy Cohn called The Apprentice, which should be an interesting contrast comparison because, yes, very much like a Jude Seuss story. Roy Cohn, the way he insinuated himself into... Well, frankly, all of that, all of the power elite going all the way back to the McCarthy hearings. Interesting. All right, let's go ahead over here to StreamYard. Make sure we've got everybody with us. Oh, we do. Excellent, excellent, excellent. Okay, so we have Canadian Girl. All right, first things first, in the private chat. Good. I see everyone communicating. Excellent. So I'm assuming everyone can hear me. Canadian Girl, do us a favor and put any links you'd like us to share in the private chat, and what I'll do is I'll add those to the chats as we go this way, and we'll pull it up and take a look at what you have to offer as well. We'll do the same, of course, for all the other guests, and always honest, the only way to follow her stuff is to friend request her on Telegram, And then, of course, she shares out links of all sorts. She's got a TikTok, actually, too. But for some reason, every time I visit TikTok, it asks me to resubscribe. I don't know why, but Telegram's terribly reliable. So let's see. We'll add one. We'll add two. We'll add three. We add four. Okay, this looks like everybody. Let me remove a few of these folks from studio. And we'll take down the Heil Hitler gummies. There we go. Stop screen. Okay. Here we go. All right. How's everybody? You see the order on the screen here. This is good. So it's going to go Always Honest, Kathleen Dudley, Canadian Girl, and then Monica Schaefer. Okay, good. So I guess we'll first go to Always Honest if she's prepared to give a few words to everybody. That'd be good timing. Excellent.
Hello, everyone. How are you doing? Happy New Year, because we haven't spoken prior to this. And I'm looking forward to a great stream. Hi, ladies. Welcome back.
Hello. Carol.
I hear them.
No, sorry. I'm just walking out now to put all the chickens away.
Oh, don't apologize.
Okay.
Nope. We've got a Renaissance woman on our hands here. So you just keep doing you, and it'll all work out. Kathleen Dudley, how are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you. How are you doing?
Good. Glad to have you back for your essential commentary. Excellent. Excellent. So our newcomer, who of course we're missing Based Maidens, but as a bit of a consolation, she sent along a gal who has taught her a lot, frankly. She speaks very highly of Canadian Girl. Canadian Girl is actually being charged in Canada for hate speech due to her alleged hate speech online posts. She is a very strong but well-thought-out conviction, so, you know, we like her already. Especially because she raids Indian X spaces and tells them they have to go back. She's on her 16th or 17th X account because she keeps getting banned. This is great. We love her already. So she's taught everyone quite a few things, so we should pay attention. How are you, Canadian Girl? Oh, dear. She just got out. I don't think she liked it. She hopefully she'll reconnect. Okay. Well, then in that case, we'll go ahead to Monica Schaefer. How are you?
I unmuted. I was expecting. So sorry she left. I hope she comes back.
She must still have the email with the link, so that'll work.
I had a good conversation with Bethan about this woman, Canadian Girl, today. So I'm really interested to hear from her. So anyway, but hello, everybody. And yes, Happy New Year. It's going to be an interesting year, I think. I'm telling people, do up your seatbelts, because the ride will be quite wild. And ultimately, though, truth does always prevail. And so if we can, just keep on going, every day that we keep on going is a day that we're winning. Anyway, so that's just my greetings. Hello, and I look forward to this discussion. One more thing I should say, Davis, I won't be able to stay the whole 2 hours. I'm thinking maximum an hour and a half.
Sure.
So maximum. I kind of got other things going on, and a house guest as well.
Understood. Yes, you you just exit whenever you see the need to. Mm-hmm. That works. So if anyone's in direct touch with Canadian Girl, go ahead and reach out to her. That'd be good. Yeah, 2025, they're certainly trying to convince us it's going to be a wild one. Here we have some of the Neocon 2.0 presenters, the kind of folks who roll out and magically become massive successes overnight on X and everywhere else. And here's what they say.
It's going to be a bloody 2025.
Oh, that's good. Sean Ryan and Sam Shoemate. That's not suspicious at all.
And nobody's fucking paying attention. Nobody's paying attention. We tried to get it in the media.
Right. They're worried about Iranian man pads. Okay, so now anything that goes on, like TWA 800 Part 2, it's going to be blamed on Iran. So, yeah, thanks, Neocon 2.0 rollout. Now we know what they're up to. So it's probably Neocon rollout 2.0 as well as, it's a little in-house COINTELPRO, maybe domestic terrorism vis-a-vis your own security state. So, yeah, we'll see how that goes. It could be a wild 2025. Either way, the noticing will continue. The noticing will continue. So nothing's going to stop that. All right. Let me go over here and show her. Yes, here we go. Last thing I pulled up was her page. I'll show everyone else's page as well as we go. But here we share screen and she confirms. Ah, yes. Account suite 16. Right. So account 16. Wow. She really is up to the 16th account. It's crazy. She has an interview with, Gavin McGinnis. Oh, boy, that must have been really difficult for her. Gavin McGinnis. He's tough to take, you know, personally. Now, he can be clever, you know, but he's a little difficult to take, Gavin McGinnis. He blames everything on white women, which is a little tedious. He uses the phrase Karen quite commonly as well, which is really a bit much. Okay, it sounds like I heard someone adding, ah, yes, we add her to the stage and we welcome her back. Did you get to hear your intro, Canadian girl?
No, I didn't. Sorry.
Well, hold on to your seats. All right. So let me just, no worries. We're glad to have you back. So I introduced you as Canadian girl and only by that phrase and mentioned everyone that you're being charged in Canada for hate speech. Ooh, due to your alleged hate speech online posts that you have very strong but well thought out convictions. And most of all, we like that you raid Indian X spaces and tell them they have to go back. And we learned you're on your 16th X account because you keep getting banned. So we like that kind of bravery and tenacity. So welcome.
Thank you.
Excellent.
I'm glad to be here.
Yes, indeed. So I saw you had an interview with Gavin McGinnis. Tell us your story. You're brand new to the show. Tell us what at first got you, quote unquote, you know, your red pill story. We always like those.
Okay.
When did you begin noticing? And where's your journey taking you? Some of the most interesting places. Maybe mention those. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, I think it's biologically like natural to be racist, right? So despite a bombardment of media and government trying to make me not racist, it was kind of still lurking in the shadows. And I would say that the, you know, it's sort of you try to suppress it, but it's still there. You know, you're still really uncomfortable around them. And you're like, you know, you try to work on yourself to not be, but it's still there. So eventually, when the lockdowns hit, in the COVID lockdowns, coincidentally, as we were supposed to stay at home, that was when they brought in millions of Indians into my country. And you woke up to, you left the house and you're like, whoa, what is going on? It was an immediate flood. And it was extremely noticeable. And I, you know, at first I was trying to think of like, I'm not enjoying, like, first of all, it's very alarming to see them. They're not appealing at all. And then secondly, I was just noticing my interactions with them were like really unpleasant. And I was like, really not, I'm like, these people really suck. So I was trying to figure that out. So I started hosting spaces with them. And I would have like 50 of them just come in the room. And I just started like deep diving on Indians and became a bit of an expert and realized like between the IQ problem, their morals, their the country, like all of their issues they have, I'm like, these people are freaking awful. And so I would thank the Indians for making me completely 100% racist. So and as soon as I realized like, you know, the Indians shouldn't be here, then I was like, well, why are these other people here? And then I came across the GTV flyers and HT's website, and then I was like, oh, I'm home.
Yeah. Oh, yes, you know it when you get there. That is for sure. Well, that's interesting. How did you cross paths with Gavin McGinnis?
It was just after my arrest. I guess some people were like recommending that I reach out to people, so I think I just reached out to him. I think smart. I just sent him an email. Yeah,
that's good. Okay, he didn't blame everything on you being a white woman. He likes to do that.
No, it's a great interview. Honestly, like I didn't even pick up on that vibe or anything. I'm not really familiar with him, so I just took him at face value, and we had a really great chat. The only difference that him and I held a little contention was the fact that he thinks the old school Indians are somehow good, and I'm like an absolutist of like, no, they all got to go,
He's married to one.
I think he's married to a feather, not dot.
Oh, see, I got it confused. Right. Okay. Well, all this, right. Yeah, so different.
But he still seemed to, for some reason, justify the old school Indians, like the ones who've been here since the 80s or something. I'm like, no, they're just as crappy as the current ones. You know, it's just when there's less of them, you just didn't notice them, and that's what the difference is. But, yeah, they're just as shitty. Like, it's biological. It's IQ. It's completely relevant. They're going to suck no matter what.
Yeah, they do suck. And this is supposedly we're doing a brain drain on India. That's a laugh and a half. Wait till they like find
out. They were succeeding so well, but then we took their few doctors and scientists from them, and now it's just fallen apart ever since.
Well, their degree programs are real sketchy. So to say you're taking doctors and engineers is sort of it's cloud cuckoo land. It's sort of make believe and pretend. They're not even the same.
Bribe their way into anything, right? And you know, even the teachers, the professors are all bribed their way into those positions, right? So everyone's unqualified.
Well, exactly. Yeah, that's why. In fact, if India is so great, Elon, why don't you take Tesla from China and put it in India? After all, they're so productive, and these are the bestest people in their ever-loving world. We need to bring them here. So how about it, buddy? Elon Musk.
Money where your mouth is.
Yeah. Well, of course, Elon Musk is one of the egalitarian assholes who likes to, of course, he's nothing but he's like pig capitalist system enjoyer. And Elon Musk likes to pretend that everyone in the world is an American who just hasn't gotten here yet, as long as he can hire them at a discount. You know, it's pretty much where he's coming from. So we've got his number. We've got your number, Elon. All right.
And he's a traitor who left his own people, too, anyway, in the midst of absolute chaos, even though he's one of the wealthiest people and could probably build quite the huge encampment around his entire country, right?
Yeah, could you imagine becoming a billionaire knowing the Boer people, the Boer folk are suffering and doing nothing? Could you imagine? I literally can't imagine being that guy.
And now he pretends he's American.
Yeah, what a dick. Yeah, I know. Yeah, he's a real piece of garbage. I hope he gets what he deserves someday. And I don't necessarily mean the Luigi stuff, but, you know, maybe the Luigi treatment. I don't know. I'm not in control of everything.
What's the Luigi treatment?
Yeah, the CEO assassin. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It's not Fed posting. That's just sort of, hey, come what may, 2025 is going to be crazy. Anyway, so that's a great story. That's a great background. And it seems that authentic pro-white advocacy, as usual, results in banning. Weird. It's as if what you have to say is threatening somebody.
Super, I think the fact that I actually think it's because I'm a woman. Like, I know some of the Canadian men have been arrested too, but I think it really pisses people off because they expect women to be nurturing and subvert our biological nurturing nature onto brown pets and pretend that they're, you know, needing to be taken care of. And when we don't do that, I think it kind of outrages people.
That's actually good. That might be the psychological underpinnings there. Yeah, like that. But it's good of you to remind women, because women need to hear that. Like, you're being hacked. You know what I mean? You're, like you said, your biological tendency toward caring for the lower or weaker other is being exploited. And if I think they would hear that message more positively from a woman. So that's likely why. Yep, I think you're right. That's likely why you're under duress. And let's hope it works out. Is there any way people can help you? You got to defend yourself from all this. Besides an X channel, how can people help you out?
Well, maybe I did make a Give, Send, Go.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And the I was going to say that with the arrest thing, like, I have Antifa who just sort of stalk me. And there was even an Antifa who, like, sat outside my house for hours just waiting for me to come out just to get a photo of me. You know, like, they're insane. They're completely stalking me. It's really nutty. Like, they just harass all my profiles. They make fake profiles to imitate me. And it's like, it's just, you know, like, they have fake accounts set up for me. And of course, then you have the Indian ones who will actually, like, every time my channel gets going good, that's when it goes down. But it's mostly the Indians, I think, that take it down. They're crazy. Yeah, you know, the Indian Defender League or whatever?
There's such a thing? No, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, it's a Telegram group, and it's full of, like, thousands and thousands of Indians, and they basically mass report X accounts. So,
oh, that, you know, thing. Yeah, I've heard of that. Yeah, I didn't know that official name.
I've seen them. I've seen tweets and like or Telegram posts where they celebrate taking me down and stuff. So they really hate it when I start building up any kind of momentum. You know, I get to about 1,300 and then I go down and I just make a new account. I don't care. I can keep going. I can play as long as they can play.
Yeah, you could do this all year. Exactly.
Eventually I'll get to account number 1488.
Yeah. Actually, that's very funny. Sooner than you think, unfortunately.
Right.
So in the case of the GiveSendGo, go ahead and put that link in the private chat when you get a chance.
Sure.
And we'll open that. So for now, we'll go to Always Honest. And I had some news clips for you guys that I think I like to bounce news ideas and get the ladies' perspective, particularly the white nationalist ladies' perspective. So that's what we're going to do, a little bit of that. Let me pull up something I know would be of interest. And in fact, Always Honest knows a lot more than I about. So
before you do that, Davis, I would love to respond to some of the things that.
Oh, please do. Yes. Sorry.
Canadian girl said, I'll just jump in here. Be rude.
No, by all means, let's do that. Yeah.
Well, I just took some notes because actually I love your. What do you call that handle? Even more racist, because the word racist is the most weaponized word now, even more weaponized than something like Holocaust denier. And what I mean by that is it's a word that has been turned into something that shuts down our capacity to think when we hear it. That's the desired effect of it. Oh, you're a racist. And then everybody, oh, no, don't call me a racist. Like, it's just the most weaponized term for a reason. And so when they weaponize something, I have discovered that that's exactly where we have to go and inquire, what is it about this? Like, you know, the Holocaust denial thing. Well, that's what I kind of got infamous or famous for, right? Okay, so whichever perspective you want to take on that. But racism, so that's exactly where we have to go, because those who wish to destroy us, they know darn well that blood is the most important thing that we have, our blood, the purity of our blood. Civilizations have been built and then have fallen when the blood of the inhabitants of a civilization has been made impure and, you know, mixed up and miscegenated basically with the barbarians. So that's really important. So right on, Canadian girl, for going down this road and discovering this road. Elon Musk, I recently saw something about his mother, very much involved in satanic stuff. It's just like he's not our friend. Brother. I think everybody kind of knows that's here. Anyway, the Indians, I just, this today, talking with Based Maiden on the phone, that was the first time that I heard this, the differentiation between, you know, the Indians here and the Indians over there, the feathers and the dots. I love it. I'm going to adopt that. I'm going to, just to make it easy to talk about who we're talking about, because I've been on a deep dive and it's been become a bit of an obsession of mine to talk about the, you know, the Indians of Canada and their residential school story, which, you know, they will try to criminalize us for residential school denialism. And all the language in this proposed bill that they have on that is very parallel to the Holocaust denial bills. So that's a very important thing. But yeah, all these dots coming in, like, I think it's, I just used to call them East Indians, but the dots and the feathers, I like that. That's good. And I find it interesting what you say, Canadian girl, about that right during the lockdown is when the big push for millions more of them coming here. And I think you're right. That's exactly what happened. I mean, there were quite a few of them here before that, but that's when it really accelerated. I hadn't actually thought of that before, that that's when they really pushed it. But it does coincide with the lockdowns. And then our good qualities being weaponized or exploited, like the feminine qualities of nurturing and whatnot, and also I would say the Aryan race qualities in general. We have empathy, high IQ, all these qualities have been weaponized against us. So that is very much, I guess, along the lines of what you were talking about and what Davis responded with. And I guess maybe when it comes around again to get an update from you, like you have a trial set or what, just a particulars about that. Anyway, that's, I'll pass it back or let Davis guide where we're going from here.
Okay. Yeah. Actually, that was excellent commentary. So I'm glad you pointed that out. Yeah. That was very good.
David, before you go on, and yes, that was an excellent commentary. I wanted to respond to something that Canadian Girl said as well. I thought you made some wonderful, some really fine points. You mentioned about how when, you know, you thought that maybe it was because being a woman, somehow it increased the attack. And my sense on that is, you know, historically, at least the programming in the Western countries is that women are inferior to men. And as women are inferior to men, when a woman stands up and she's has strength and expresses her courage, and then she takes action. And not only does she take action, but when she's beaten down, she comes up again, like you with your 18x accounts, and you're unstoppable. What does that do to a man who already is questioning his own vitality and his own self-esteem? He's going to feel that much more inferior, and his own perhaps aggression will against a woman will explode. So that was just a thought that came to mind.
Excellent. Yes. And don't know if I mentioned, but yes, the racism term, of course, I agree. It's a thought terminating cliche, and this is one of the greatest word weapons of the Jews. So they have the ability to demonize and lionize. They have the ability to frame discussions, which all, most importantly, gives them the ability to leave something outside the frame of discussion. This is really key. So anyway, yes, that's what we're battling against. So what we'll do is, let's see. Okay, along the way, so we'll remind Canadian Girl to give us that give, send, go. I'm sure many people would like to help her defend herself from this. This is really absurd what we have going on here. It's really, the Jews are not going to stop. And most importantly, we need to realize that white advocacy is only going to be done by us. Okay, we have no representation. I don't care what country you're in. We don't have representation. We're a global minority, second only to some weird tribes in the Amazon and supposedly the Jews. We are a global minority. We should begin acting like one, okay, because we face an existential threat. And this will come every day. This will become more and more of a reality. And the only way to resist it is to truly become cognizant, affect others' outlook on the world and the worldview, make sure that you can make them as radical and maybe revolutionary as possible, because that's what's required. This entire system is completely legitimate. It's completely Jew controlled, and it needs to be overturned. That's the only thing that'll do. I don't see any restoration or some nonsense like this of a constitution or whatever your original plan was for your government. Let's go back. There's no going back. Okay. There's no going back. So whatever country you're in, become a futurist. So I'm an American futurist, because we can make something new together. And that's much more promising than telling me we're going to go back to some set point to do this, what, all over again? No, thank you. I really don't feel like doing this all over again. So we go back to Always Honest, and we will ask her thoughts on who I'm torn, because she's in California. So, all right. I'm going to play you something and get your thoughts on this. Listen for the words, when we started this fire.
My first piece of advice to you is, let's take care of our mental and physical health first before we embark upon what is going to be a journey to rebuild these communities back and rebuild them better than they were when we...
Okay, this is LA County Public Works Director, just so you know, and I would file this under when the truth wants to come out.
started this fire.
Here we go.
He's back and rebuild them better than they were when we started this fire.
Wait a second. Huh? Okay.
It's going to be a journey to rebuild these communities back and rebuild them better than they were when we started this fire.
Oh. Build them back better than they were when we started this fire. Okay, well, listen, I guess it could have been a misspoken phrase, but do you have thoughts, always honest, being in the midst of it, in the thick of it? What are people thinking about these California fires, this time particularly devastating?
So, yeah, they're devastating. And I do believe that the majority of people feel that they were planned, particularly when you look at the cancellations of the insurance policies prior to. And they were pretty much sending those cancellations out to mountainous properties throughout California, a lot of different counties. They did some by zip code. Others were just individual locations that they picked. So everybody was aware. Living in California, one of your biggest concerns, especially if you have a rural mountain property, is fire all the time. And now people are even more concerned. So specifically about this, and I think most people will find this very interesting. The homes that survived, you'll see one house and every other home around it is completely burned. Those don't have smart meters on them. And this has been confirmed by people. Actually, one home, that's all the homes that have survived, most of them don't have smart meters, or they were built with fireproofed materials, which cost, you know, tremendous amount of money, and the people that live in some of these locations could afford it. But those are few and far between. Most of the ones that didn't burn or had very little damage, you know, maybe something on the side of their house or a little bit of their garage, did not have smart meters on their homes. Now, if you look in, take the central coast of California, maybe Santa Cruz Mountains, for instance, what's going on there is PG&E sent out notices back in August to a hand-picked residents, offering them free Tesla batteries. Yes. And keep in mind, the name of these Tesla batteries is a firewall. This is what they call it. Of all the different things that they could call it, I mean, you can't make this stuff up. I'm going to be David Duke for a minute here.
Yeah.
You can't make this stuff up. They literally call it a firewall. Of all the different things they could call it, it's a battery. For, you know, it should be something relative to a battery. No, it's a firewall. So they're offering them to people throughout the Santa Cruz Mountains. They're hand-picked locations. So I thought, you know, I'm going to just see what this is about, because I need to know, like, how many of these freaking bombs they have planted around my home. So I had them come out to do an assessment. I have a rental property there. And I said, you know, sure, I'll accept that. So they go out and they do their thing. And he insists, because I asked him, well, can we put it on the garage? Because there's a meter there. And I thought it was specific to the meter location. He said, no, it has to be on the house. It must be on the house. So this unit's about 4 feet tall by 2 feet wide by maybe 2 or 3 inches thick. So it's relatively thin and it can attach to a house very easily. So I said, okay, let's go to the house and see if it works there. So while he was there doing his assessment, I took it upon myself to ask him questions. And some of those questions were, how many of these have you installed in the Santa Cruz Mountains around this location? And he said, well, there's 5 guys and I've done 70 since September. And I was like, so that there could be over 200 of them in the proximity. And then I asked him, so this is a lithium battery? And he said, yes. I said, so it's like those Tesla cars. It could just, you know, blow up and catch on fire. And he said, that's a possibility. Keep in mind, this is the contractor that does the installations. So he's assessing the site. And then I looked at him and said, so if there's a fire And I confirmed with him, have you seen these videos of these things blowing up and burning? And he said, yes. And I said, so if there's a fire, is there a possibility that this could explode? And he said, of course, there's a possibility. So wow. I'm just thinking, and keep in mind, they canceled almost all of the insurance policies, particularly State Farm holders. In that area within a pretty big area. It's a couple zip codes, actually, because it took over a couple of different valleys and mountain areas. And so people were already aware. Many people tried to sell and couldn't because they couldn't get insurance outside of what California offers for insurance. So they're still stuck with their properties. And whether they took the California insurance or not, I'm not privy to any of that because there's thousands of them. But everybody's in California, in most of these locations where they've been canceled, have been dealing with things like this, smart meter issues. There's a lot of information about smart meters being an ignition point, which was brought up in Lahaina. There's videos online from these LA fires of homes burning on the inside and nothing burning around them on the outside. And a lot of people found that to be suspect, unless there's arsonists going into individual homes and lighting those on fires, you know, for whatever reasons, that, you know, really wouldn't be feasible. So the videos.
Well, there may have been paid arsonists. Did you hear about the Woodland Hills residents stopped an arsonist? I'll just play this real quick. It's just a minute.
Mm-hmm. One of the big concerns is arson. That we've been talking about, and there are reports that the fire that we saw burning tonight in West Hills in Calabasas was started by a potential arsonist. Our colleague, also from KTVU, is there tonight talking about what he's seeing on the ground and what we've learned in terms of a potential crime scene now.
Zach Sauce, are you there? Can you hear us?
Yeah, I'm at the corner of Arcos and Galindo in the community of Woodland Hills. It is here that we understand a bizarre set of circumstances occurred around 4:30. It is our understanding that police have made an arrest of a suspected arsonist here in the community of Woodland Hills, a source in the police department telling us that this suspect may be tied to the starting potentially the Kenneth fire. So around 4:30, we are told by several neighbors here that there was a man riding around on his bicycle with a large blowtorch, apparently attempting to set numerous old Christmas trees on fire, garbage cans with wood debris on fire. He was riding around, and some neighbors that were just being very alert about this, certainly concerned seeing all of the fires in the community, you know, they knew that something was not right here. As he started to ride away, neighbors started to follow him. He eventually made his way up here to this intersection, and that is where a number of neighbors stepped in.
Well, you could file that under crazy Negroes or paid provocateurs. Who knows? Have you heard any other specific incidents of arsonists being seen?
Are you asking anybody?
No. I just wanted to follow up with Always Honest because she's in California. She would be hearing from people. But yes, if Monica, if you've heard of arsonists, by all means, let's hear specific instances.
Well, it's just a brief comment here because I don't want to, you know, speak out of turn and hog it. But I think these arsonists are the equivalent of patsies. And I think it was the summer of 2023 when there were many, many, many fires in Alberta. So I'm not talking about 2024 when there was the big fire in Jasper, which I'm intimately aware of, but I think it was the year before, many, many, many fires across Alberta. And then they started reporting on arsonists. And we know darn well that the government started these or the whatever department, like this was a planned thing. Many, many fires started exactly the same time. This cannot happen in, you know, just by natural circumstances, like in different places, they start at exactly the same time. I've heard that about the California fires too, that several of them started at exactly the same time, but not in the same place, you know? So, but anyway, I've got more comments, but I don't want to, I just wanted to talk about the arsonists. I think they're patsies. So what you said last there about paid provocateur, that could be, or that they are making it up or whatever. They're just trying to distract us, deflect, so that we all just still think that, okay, well, yeah, it's getting kind of obvious that not all these fires were started by lightning or natural. So, oh, well, there were arsonists. No, it's a deflection from who's really starting these fires. It's weather warfare and fire warfare. It's being done. So,
well, interesting. Yeah, if there's, we know that weather control, which sounds absurd, but certainly a type of weather influencing, and I realize how crazy this sounds, but it is, in fact, it's extant in the public record. They've had this since the Vietnam War. They can cause the seeding of clouds and make rain. So why didn't they do that? You know, again, this is a really hostile. This is a really hostile occupied government, this Zog, and they hate you. And if you take that approach to understanding, is like, what are the Jews up to now? Because I know they hate me. Then you'll have the skeleton key to unlock any calculus of all politics. That's how that works. So we haven't heard. Let's see. We haven't heard from Kathleen. Do you have any take on these terrible fires?
Well, I do. And I've been listening to a couple of folks who have done some pretty deep looking into this. And the fellow who you were talking about, who was starting those fires, when they actually searched him, they found a UN credit card on him. And so we know that, you know, he's been urged and funded by the United Nations. Also, Deborah Tavares has been on the news quite a bit on the alternative websites. And she was revealing some incredible footage, because all of these cities, these smart cities that the UN in the Agenda 21 have been organized to advance, have been developed a long time ago. So it's not even the Biden administration. It's not even the incoming Trump administration. It's just whomever happens to be in office at the time. It's their marching orders to do what has been laid out already. And that's the heinous part about all of this, is that it's been so well planned for so long. And the destruction is so extreme. They're on the Dollar Vigilante's most recent monologue. He gives some shots of a list of the cities that are intended by the UN to be smart cities over the next while. And so it's very interesting to go down the list and see them. This is just for the United States. And I guess I was relieved to know that I didn't see anything from Oregon, and there was only one city in New Mexico, which was Albuquerque. But the list is just pathetically long, and we know that they are absolutely fearless, and their arrogance is beyond, and they're blatant in what they're doing, and the horrors and the crimes and the murders of the people, the domestic and the wild animals, and the destruction of nature. They seem to care not for or be concerned about to any degree. So we certainly are living in what some people call apocalyptic times, when you see just the horror that is, you know, that is perpetrated.
Yeah, it's hard to keep it's hard to keep the proper perspective on things. It's hard to be black-pilled, as people say. But, of course, we have a lot to fight for, so we're thankful for that. And, you know, there's a lot of beauty in the world, and we've got babies and lovely ladies, and Don't forget the way your dog looks at you when you rub his belly. So there's a lot. There's a lot to love and desire to protect. So of course, yes, we all have to. But I struggle with that too. Yeah, I get pretty black-pilled. I get an attitude because there's so much going on that is just so destructive. It's really destructive to our people. It's existential too. I feel the threat. A lot of people feel it. They can't explain it. They know something's coming. That's the feeling they have. They don't know quite what it is. It's a type of morass. And here we are. So we have to be the interpreters of cultural change that tell them what it is. They have that sensation. Well, we can tell you what it is. It's the fucking Jews. Let's look at the chats.
Well, hey, hello. Welcome to the stream, everybody.
It just never, it never ends. It's always something. So how are you guys? Welcome. Who do we have here? We got
MFC NorCal, Leib Standard. We have Kick Chef, Serbian Bull, Anna 1913, with a suggestion that Mae Musk is Ashkenazi. Kick Chef saying, I somewhat doubt this, so I checked it out. And did I say Anna 1913? Yes, I did. Okay, excellent. Let's go ahead and look at the FTJ.
Guys, what's going on?
Okay, over at FTJ, we have an individual named Heil Hitler. Who could dislike that? Right, it's a good handle. And let me scroll up. Alex Wazlak, what's up, buddy? Tom Dwyer, excellent. Michael Nail, what's up, my niggas? Back to you, sir. Excellent. And we have some screen grabs. That's nice to see. We'll share those for sure. Let's see who else is in here. And Lisa from Germany, of course. Yes, very good. Nice to see you, Lisa. And Lisa had some very I wish I had more time earlier. Lisa, if you happen to be able to access your old chat, you could put some of what was posted earlier today from you in tonight's chat. That'd be great. We might be able to get to that. All right. Yeah, I took over Giuseppe's show in his stay, and Scorpio and I have such a good discussion that I sometimes I don't get to check the chat. So there we go. Anyway, yeah, we'll take the next news clip as it comes here. I think that's what we should do. So next up, I wanted to get unless anyone has comment immediately, and then we'll play the next news clip and get everyone's impressions in reverse.
Just one more thing about that. I hadn't heard that clip when we started the fire that the guy slipped up on. It reminded me instantly of Lucky Larry, Larry Silverstein, who bragged about having the plans for the One World Trade Center in May or April of 2000. So that was 17 months prior to 9/11 going down. And he was bragging about having the plans for the new World Trade Center. So, you know, prior knowledge and, we're just going to do this, you know. That was a little bit of a slip up there. They kind of tend to do that, don't they, though? They tell us these things.
They do. And this is the power of framing again, because now people might say, oh my gosh, the truth has come out. Everyone will know now. But no. When you control the media and it is your instrument, you have the power of what's in frame and what's out of frame. Literally, it's the frame game. You control how people perceive their world because they see it through the little weird keyhole you provide them. So all they have to do is just shift that over and no longer include the LA County Public Works Director saying when we started this fire. They just exclude that and move on. That's what the Jews do. Anyone else have final comments? If not, we're going to hear another news piece and get opinions. All right, here we go. Well, the U.S. launches more strikes in Yemen, but I think I'll do that next time. And this way we can get Always Honest first because she knows much more about Middle Eastern politics than I. So my next one was getting your comments on NPR. I really hate NPR, so I hate listen. I'll admit to hate listening to NPR. And when I hear something particularly egregious, I have to record it and bring it to everybody. This is a segment from NPR called Language Police. Okay, you probably know what you're going to get. Here goes.
Immigration is always in the news. Late last week, President Biden extended temporary protected status for folks from Venezuela, El Salvador, and Ukraine. And incoming, President Trump has vowed to implement mass deportations, among other things. Just as the stories are ever evolving, so too is the language we use to talk about them. NPR recently changed its guidance on how we reporters talk about this issue on our air and in pieces for our website. Tony Cavan is NPR's managing editor of Standards and Practices, and he is here now to walk us through some of the new guidance. Hi, Tony.
Hi, Mary Louise.
So I want to share with everybody the lead of the email that you sent to all staff landed in my inbox this morning. It begins, quote, when referring to people who are in the United States without the government's permission, going forward, we should use the term people who are in the United States without legal status, end quote. Tony Cavan, what's the thinking here?
Well, two things. I noticed that our own guidance was contradictory about the use of the term undocumented, mm-hmm. both approving it and not approving it. I just think something didn't get updated. So I knew it was time to do something. And I also noticed that the Associated Press had stopped using undocumented as a description for people who are here without the government's permission. Many of the people do have documents. They don't have the right documents. The trick here is finding language that is both clear, that doesn't dehumanize the people we're talking about, and makes the point in as exact a way as possible, and we're not somehow coloring the debate by the language that we use.
Wow. So literal follow the leader. Well, the Associated Press changed the way they talk about it, so we're going to change the way we talk about it. So there is, of course, this internal coherence when it comes to oppressing you. And, of course, the strange euphemisms constantly evolve and evolve and evolve. You know, there's the word illegal immigrant, which seems pretty descriptive and, in fact, seems to comport with a rule of language called economy and language, like having all these extra words, like people who don't have the proper documents who inhabit the U.S. Like you use this big, long phrase instead of just saying illegal immigrant. That runs counter to all common sense, particularly economy of language and what that demands. So let's do this. We'll go in reverse. And that means we'll add Canadian girl. Well, first, let's see if she's heard that appropriately enough to give comment. Are you with us, dear?
I'm sorry. I didn't. I was having connection issues.
Oh, yes, I understand. Yes, it's Elon Musk's, what is it?
Is this Star? Common with StreamYard? I seem to, like, I bounce out and then I can come back in, I bounce out. And...
Nope, it's not common. StreamYard has a lot of flaws, but keeping people connected is not one of them.
It might be the browser that you're using, because I used to use Brave browser for it, and then I couldn't anymore, so then I changed to Firefox for the StreamYard connection. Works better.
So let me, I'll try, if I bounce out again, I'll try Firefox.
Yeah, exactly. Let's do that. Now, were you in a position to hear the NPR news clip about what they called Language Police? That was the name of their segment. Did you hear the Language Police segment about as immigration stories evolve, so does the language we use to talk about them? Did you hear that?
No, that sounds like a great story, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, we might have to play that just before the end and get your take on that. So let's go we're going in reverse. We'll hear from Monica about this particular Language Police segment, and then we'll hear from Kathleen. And then after we hear from Always Honest, we'll replay 38 seconds of that segment and give Canadian girl a chance to respond. Okay, go ahead, Monica.
Yeah, actually, you already addressed that very well, Davis. I mean, this is word magic. They seek to just obfuscate, get the normies, the people who are not sort of awake to all this, get them kind of worried about how they can describe people, change the framing in their own minds and in the people's minds, like, who are these people? If you just use clear language, they're illegal. Then you're not going to have to feel sorry for them and, oh, well, maybe, you know, we need to give these people the vote. Those poor people, like, feeling sorry for them. All this language is meant to just confuse. Actually, my brother Alfred had this great quote, I think from ancient times, great philosopher who laid it out clearly that I don't have it in front of me, but something about if you don't have the right language to describe something, then you don't have the right thoughts to think about it. And if you don't have the right thoughts to think about it, then you will not have the right actions to deal with it. And if it just goes on and on like that, and it just sort of is a very good description of we need to be clear with our language. And of course, the Jews who are doing this to us, they don't want us to think clearly about these things. They don't want us to respond in the way that needs to, you know, that we just need to respond to. They're illegal and we're being invaded. But oh my goodness, if you use that kind of language, you're a hater. I mean, even just that, that whole thing. And the fact that Canadian girl has been charged for things she's tweeted, supposedly, you know, being racist or whatever. Well, oh, that's evil. You know, that's bad. You're a hater. So we're all haters if we have the wrong thoughts. I mean, just that word. I remember the George Orwell 1984, the book first, and then I saw the film as well. And there are scenes in there where everybody gets into this chanting, hate, 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 you know, aim that at whatever, whoever has stepped out of line with, you know, their wrong words or whatever. And then everybody just gets into this trance. And now I'm thinking that book was light. They didn't even describe it the way we're being pummeled with this language. Hate, that's a hater, you're a hater. So anyway, yeah, that's my comment on that. It's just to, first of all, deflect us from actually understanding who are these people. We don't owe them anything. We don't owe them anything. But the language makes it sound like we owe them everything. So, you know, yes. Open your door, bring them in your own house. You owe it to them. Like, if you don't bring them into your own house, you're awful. You're an evil person. You're racist. That's pretty much where we're at. Right,
it's
now,
a strange, strange imposition. It really is weird. And they thought that this would work. I mean, that's kind of insane.
Oh, there goes Canadian girl again.
Oh, yeah. Well, she'll be back using a different browser, I bet. And then we'll be certain to replay it for her before we go ahead to her about the piece. You know, again, I'll remind you that Jonathan Greenblatt, who's the real president of the United States, he is very powerful. And what he has a problem with, if you think about it, is people talking about Jews. And this is why it's terribly important that we continue to do so. Just the fact that he dislikes it so much makes me want to do nothing but discuss fucking Jewish power. That's the first thing. The second thing is he knows something apparently a lot of people don't. He knows that which you can no longer say becomes something you can no longer think. This is what the Jews always do. They always go back to the seedbed of the language. They know if you can unmoor a people from their language, you have them in your palm. And this is why we have to have absolute resistance towards this. So, Kathleen Dudley, let's go ahead and hear from you regarding the NPR piece, Language Police.
Well, and like you say, if you can unmoor people from their language, I mean, what more can one say? When you change the language, when you change the words, when you make them into nonsensical, run-on sentences that most people aren't going to remember 5 minutes from there, they're left with nothing. And if you repeat it over and over again, which is what the news media does ad nauseum, soon the concept is absolutely, totally obliterated. So illegal aliens, you know, concise use of the language, it's crucial. I had an example of... I discovered a YouTube channel called Mises, M-I-S-E-S Institute. And I really, you know how so much truth is spoken in the controlled opposition, and then they slip in the lies and all of the duplicity. And by that time, you might not even be aware of it. I was listening to them for a week, and all of a sudden, I heard some language being spoken, and it was that long sentence that you just spoke about describing illegal aliens and immigrants. And I remember going, I won't remember this. It's way too expanded, and they're not being precise about their point. And I went back and I listened to it a number of times, and I realized that was where the lie lay. And so this kind of misuse of the language, this grimoire, the magic of words, and the erasing of very clear and precise language it's so critical that we stop them in their tracks, and that we use the precise language. And like you say, call out the Jews, because they don't like being called Jews, because it brings up a tremendous story in everyone's experience. I mean, everyone has a cliche, for the most part, about it, the Jews. And, you know, I was raised in a small rural family, a town, and there was even an awareness that there was something unusual about that one Jewish family. I didn't know what it was, but I later found out, because they were Jews and they had a particular perspective. And that perspective was generally undermining the rest of the population in the town. So,
Kathleen, yeah. did you ever hear back from them? I have to tell you all that Kathleen wrote the most amazing letter, and it was a long letter to this Mises Institute, like challenging them on what they were doing. Did you ever hear back?
No, I didn't. And one of the things that really bothered me was that they purport to be a teaching institute, and they show all these young people that they're teaching all about the Austrian economics and all about history and finance. But on their website, they have nothing showing the board of directors or who their donors are. And I found that extremely suspicious. And then I found out that Mises was a Jew. And I thought, oh, well, that explains everything. And he was the originator of this group. And then I started pulling things apart. So, no, I've never heard back from them. And I doubt that I will. I'd have to take it further.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah. By the way, of all ironies, street shitter Vivek Ramaswamy, he calls himself a libertarian nationalist. Isn't that weird? I've heard that phrase pass his lips. That's what he calls himself.
So well, weird. In this group, Mises Institute, they consider themselves libertarian nationalists also. So we should maybe keep our ears open to that might be the new coined description.
That's very. It makes no sense. It doesn't make any sense. It's like jumbo shrimp. How can you be a libertarian nationalist? This doesn't even make sense. These people, it's really crazy. This is clearly a propaganda outlet. This is a clearinghouse for economic propaganda. Probably ends up supporting Zionism. They probably preach the libertarian ethos of, oh, you've mixed your labor with the land, and so now it becomes inextricably linked to you and in your ownership, because you've mixed your labor with the land. Oh, you've made something of the land, therefore it becomes all these absurdities. Guaranteed that's somewhere in the mix. There's always a Jew in the woodpile. In this case, it's literally Mises. And yeah, these are libertarian retards. They don't believe in borders. They can't give you a straight answer on, okay, let's do it your way. How do roads get built? Then they'll tell you, oh, a big investor will build the roads and they'll charge you to travel on them. Okay, what's the cap on that? There is no cap. We believe in free market exchange of ideas and services. Oh, okay. Yeah, this is going to go great. It sounds like the perfect Jewish world where Jew billionaires run everything and we have to sit here eating oligarch shit and like it. No thanks. No thanks. You can shove your fucking libertarian nationalism right where it came from.
Yep.
All right. Let's go ahead to Always Honest, and then we're going to replay the clip and get Canadian Girl's take on that. Are you with us, Always Honest? Oh, we'll just give her a moment. She can unmute herself. She might be in the back there. All right. This is a good time to play the clip, and then when she returns, we'll go ahead and get her take on things after Canadian Girl. Excellent. All right, here goes a replay of A little under a minute of the language police.
Immigration is always in the news. Late last week, President Biden extended temporary protected status for folks from Venezuela, El Salvador, and Ukraine. And incoming, President Trump has vowed to implement mass deportations, among other things. Just as the stories are ever evolving, so too is the language we use to talk about them. NPR recently changed its guidance on how we reporters talk about this issue on our air and in pieces for our website. Tony Cavan is NPR's managing editor of Standards and Practices, and he is here now to walk us through some of the new guidance. Hi, Tony.
Hi, Mary Louise.
So I want to share with everybody the lead of the email that you sent to all staff landed in my inbox this morning. It begins, quote, when referring to people who are in the United States without the government's permission, going forward, we should use the term people who are in the United States without legal status, end quote. Tony Cavan, what's the thinking here?
Well, two things. I noticed that our own guidance was contradictory about the use of the term undocumented, mm-hmm. both approving it and not approving it. I just think something didn't get updated. So I knew it was time to do something. And I also noticed that the Associated Press had stopped using undocumented as a description for people who are here without the government's permission. Many of the people do have documents. They don't have the right documents. The trick here is finding language that is both clear, that doesn't dehumanize the people we're talking about, and makes the point in as exact a way as possible, and we're not somehow coloring the debate by the language that we use.
So there you have it. A somewhat lengthy explanation for a dissolution of institutional memory that's usually anchored in language. And we're seeing how the sausage is made. I'm not sure we were supposed to discuss that with the mask off, NPR, but now you've gone and done it. So, Christine, have you heard that? And do you have an opinion on that?
That's a great clip. That's pretty... it's pretty telling. I mean, you know, I personally think they're just invaders, and I think all of our ancestors would have been at the shores if we didn't refer to it as immigration and we just had brown people coming in by the millions. Our ancestors would have been at the shore with guns, you know. Rightfully, right? But now we just changed the words, and then you have the legal versus illegal. It makes no difference whether you're replaced legally or illegal, or if an illegal or legal person rapes your child, right? I mean, or takes your job or takes your future home, right? Like it doesn't matter, but it's interesting that they went that mask off. That's a good clip. I need that clip.
It's also so strange that, if you request that via the Gmail we've been communicating through, I'll go ahead and attach that. It's also strange that there isn't a more successful sort of guerrilla public relations, social media campaign to wake people up just by asking the most basic question that would affect their lives, like, how do you feel about your children having to compete with all these newcomers? You're literally reducing the value of your child's labor. Why would you do that to your own children and ask these older folks, why do you hate your grandkids like this? What the fuck is wrong with you? Honestly. It stuns me. I have no idea how this – first of all, how do people not arrive at that thought themselves is – to this day, it truly does elude me. I don't get it. It seems to me anyone who's breathing would have that thought. But that it doesn't come up more frequently as a means of waking people outside the whole discussion of race, and I get how that can be a tactically bad idea on a handful of occasions. So maybe do this other thing instead. Well, start asking it. And that's here and in Canada. Go ahead.
I do feel like, not to white pill, but I do feel like racism is on the huge uptake, which I think is like fantastic. I've been seeing on TikTok a bunch of videos where people are saying they have to go home, etc., and complaining about them. And like about 2 years ago when I was on TikTok, I got banned immediately for saying they have to go back. It would just be like an instant ban. And now TikTok just gave up, I guess. I don't know. And people are putting out all kinds of videos saying like they got to go back, or here's the joy I'm going to have watching them go back. And like the videos are being flooded with these mostly Indian in Canada videos. But not only that, like I did a post where my husband was wearing like a Santa face and holding a sign in front of a Tim Hortons saying basically whites are.
That was you guys. Yeah. I've seen that. Everyone's seen that. Oh, that's great.
Yeah, that was got 24. I didn't attach my name to it. I just sort of I gave it to people to put around. Yeah, it got 24 million views in about 3 days, and then it capped. It stopped. Like they limited its access, right? And it's been stuck at 24 million. But that shows you. I mean, we're talking 24 million in 3 days. That shows you how much that topic is interesting to people and how much people are in agreement with it. And pretty much anybody who hosts or posts a sign or stands with a sign outside saying mass deportations now, those all go viral, right? Because people, I think we're giving people who have been cucked to say, we're giving them a voice. We're giving them the right to say, I don't want them here. And the media has been working so hard to brainwash them and the government, right? And now, you know, you do these types of activities and people kind of feel like, you know, I kind of don't want them here either. And it feels really like scary for them to say that. But, you know, if we can be their voice for them and encourage them to like use their voice, I think it's really helpful. And I think they're getting there.
Yeah, that's true. There is the idea of people that push the envelope literally create the space, the political space. They create that space for people to occupy it. So like until you go ahead and say what needs to be said, not only do others maybe not feel compelled to say it, or maybe they're a little scared, but sometimes you have the opportunity to literally crystallize and clarify the thinking of millions of people. And that's when it becomes really infectious. And I don't think the Jews can do about that except use the algos to try to silo people. But 24 million people, boy, that sounds like that hopped from silo to silo pretty fast. So, and that's just the ones you've tracked, right? I mean, you think of all the ones that were passed around by some other means. That's very, very impressive. Exactly. That's a good example of that's powerful propaganda.
And that was only like a $6 poster board, and it took like 30 seconds of our time. We drove to a Tim Hortons, stopped, took a photo, jumped back in the car. I mean, I had to make the little sign too, right? But I mean, we're talking minimal effort for maximum output and effect, right? Fantastic.
Exactly. It really is. Yeah. We need to know that we're counter propagandists. And that's we have to do it on the cheap because we don't have the machinery of mass media. And so, yes, that's an excellent demonstration.
I've been encouraging people to go and make a sign and hold it in front of any business or whatever, just saying their feelings about immigration, regardless of, you know, whether it's a really feisty take or lukewarm or whatever. And I kind of feel like hypothetically, if we just actually like if people could get on that and do that, and like every single day you went onto social media, you saw someone holding a sign, a different person, different age, different demographic, holding the sign saying they have to go back. Like, I really feel like we could change it just with that kind of propaganda.
Yeah, there you go. You heard it. Canadian girl. There she
goes. It's abject, absolute racism.
That's right.
You're convicted of racism.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Go.
Anything that comes out of her mouth is motivated by racism.
There you go. It's always the phrase. However, I'll tell you that. I'll tell you this. Honk, honk doesn't mean Heil Hitler, but it ought to. And now you Jews have done it.
I love that one. Yeah. Heil Hitler. Honk, honk. Go for it.
Hitler is back.
Well, you did it, Jews. We wanted him back, but only you could have made it happen. Thank God.
I have this thing when I'm out with my husband. We'll be like walking around and he'll say, Do you wanted a dog, right? I'm like, yeah. And he says, like, how tall of a dog? And then I'll do the Roman. And we're both as high.
Hey, that's my brother's little meme, you know. This is how high my dog Pavlov can jump. He got 6 months in jail for that, for doing that.
Oh my God. 6 months
jail. That's how scared they are of our symbols and our ideas. Can you imagine that? 6 months for literally doing that in the courtyard of the previous jail stint that he did. So there was one other guy there in the courtyard at the time, and the guard was going, hey, Heil Schäfer, you know, Hitler salute. He says, no. The other guy says, no, he's just showing me how high his dog can jump.
It is true. How cynical and ridiculous. It's an absurdity. Yeah. Self-invalidating systems is what we have now. So their collapse is imminent. It appears now, I don't know, these formerly first world nations, they seem to be in a kind of catabolic collapse where they're feeding on themselves and they're in this culture war morass. There's all these incongruities between the peoples they bring in. For what purpose? I'll never know. Is it just sort of balancing the books, as some people contend, or is it more so what I think, where it's they're attempting the dissolution of white people? Yeah, it's just all a bit too much, too fast for everybody. So I guess we should be glad for their ham-fistedness, right? Let's see what Always Honest has to say and see if she's back yet. If not, we'll get further comment and or play the second segment of NPR's Language Police. There you go. I told you, a Renaissance woman. She could be up to three things right now. So she could be deworming a dog or something with chickens or something like this. She's always up to something. All right. She literally doesn't sit still. Language Police Part 2. We'll go ahead and get this take, and then we'll reverse the order once again, doing it in the traditional order. This segment's essentially about descriptions, not labels. Compliments of NPR.
I want to talk about one other term that has been used in our coverage. Plenty of news organizations have used in past illegal immigrants. And for people listening who may be scratching their heads and thinking, okay, but there are folks who come to the U.S. illegally, your note says, NPR journalists, we can use the term illegal immigration, not illegal immigrants. The distinction being what?
That people are not illegal. Someone can do something that's illegal, but they are not in and of themselves illegal. Okay. So we don't want to do that.
It's just trying to center just basic humanity in our coverage.
I also mentioned in the same note that we try not to use terminology that talks about national phenomena when we're in a flood of immigrants or waves of immigrants. Just because you lose the humanity, each one of these people who comes to this country, no matter whether they...
It's not because it's illustrative of what's actually going on and people communicate through metaphors and similes. It's not because of that. It's just because, the humanity.
They entered legally or illegal. There's a story behind it. There's an individual story. Our job is to try and get as close to those stories as possible.
That gets to a kind of golden rule of thumb in journalism, which is generally better to use a description than a label. Give us an example or two that come to mind here.
Well, for example, we should say someone had crossed the border without permission, or he stayed in the U.S. after his tourist visa expired. It really varies on the individual, but to the extent we can describe a situation, it's always better than labeling that situation. And as you note, that's not exclusive to immigration.
Oh, good. All the white people who've been demonized and denigrated for so many years now, but they'd be thrilled to hear no more labels. Wow. Just in time. Great stuff. Great stuff. These people are unbelievable. It truly is. It's really something. Boy, oh boy. Okay.
Is NPR Jewish?
What's that?
Is NPR Jewish?
Well, all media is Jewish in America, unfortunately. Even some of the alternative media, strangely, like Alex Jones's entire website was built by a Jew. It appears for Jewish purposes, which is why he'll repeat retarded absurdities like it's the Chinese or that the Muslims control our banks. He actually says this stuff. Now we have a post-Ozempic Alex Jones. He's like he'd like to be taken twice as serious all over again. But few are making that mistake. But yes, NPR has plenty of Jewish influence. Of course, we always wonder how is this possible, right? I think they must be fibbing about their numbers because they either have a Jew or an apparatchik of a Jew at like every single choke point of power, it seems. Although they do have this little trick Jews do. They can almost double their numbers by exclusively hiring nihilistic homosexuals to put in positions of power because they don't empathize with working families and all this kind of stuff. They're the best like dominatrix bosses. They'll appropriately whip the goy into shape for the Jews. So they have that trick. And I think Jews might be under the false assumption that they might triple their numbers by doing the same with these Indians, dot not feather.
The Indians really love Jews, by the way. Like they love them.
Do they? Oh, that's not good.
Yeah,
news.
Because they have no morals or ethics that resonates with Indians who don't really understand those concepts anyway. And all they see is that the Jews get power and money, and that's the main priorities of Indians. So they think they're fantastic.
Oh, so the Jew has money, so they like the Jew. It's really that sort of A to B thing.
Oddly enough, The Indians actually base value of a human based on how much money they have, right? So the first thing you'll do when you talk to an Indian is he'll ask you, like, he'll try to check your status, because if you have a lot.
Oh, Elon Musk Starlink is getting her again. Why, Musk, you son of a. All right. Well, it looks like we have Always Honest back, though, so we can hear her take in case she's in the event she's been able to hear what we've been saying. So Always Honest. You can unmute yourself if available. There we go. All right. If not, we'll take any other comments. If not, we'll move forward to the next news clip. And Monica, you can also comment right now if you'd like, because I realize you have company and maybe have to hit the eject button soon.
Go ahead. Although this is so much fun and so interesting, I can't believe how fast the time is going by. I mean, but anyway, cry me a river, please. Like, you know, we don't want to lose our humanity. I mean, let's just, again, when I think to the other clip that you played, that woman, I think it was, she was saying how we have to be clear with our language. She was saying all the things that we are saying, but then they do the opposite, exactly the opposite. They're not being clear with their language. So, you know, oh, we don't want to lose our humanity by calling them illegal immigrants. No, it's illegal immigration. Oh, I'm so sorry. Okay, without permission. They're here without permission. All those long sentences and words to describe something. Just, yeah, we need clarity. It's as simple as that. We need clear language. Then we can think clearly, like Kathleen said earlier. If you don't have the language to express, then you cannot think clearly. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that's what they want too. They just said it. They want clear language.
Oh, yeah, they want it, but they don't do it. And so they give you, but that's really important actually, because by saying those things within that news clip, then the average person thinks, yes, they're speaking very clearly, aren't they? Whereas they're not. But
yeah, well, they're saying what I think. Yeah. So I should agree with them on everything else. That's how that works.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, yeah. Kathleen, go ahead.
Oh.
Someone might be muted.
Unmute.
Yes. I don't think I have the ability to unmute when you've muted. Let me try.
All these newscasters, all these news reporters, they're there to report the news. They're not there to give us their opinion or their concepts of what clear language is. The dictionary is there for them to use the English language clearly and just to report. But they have been given the opportunity and the directive to create confusion and to tell lies and to make as much of a mess out of reporting as possible, so that people who aren't discerning, people who are part of the 80-20 principle, will follow along and they'll stand up and jump for joy that they now know what's going on in the world, because these people are reporters. So, you know, it's just all about, it's all a play, it's theater, and they're actors and actresses, and it's just deplorable to see the toilet that all this has gone down.
Yeah, all the world's a stage and all that. It should now be all the world's a toilet.
It should be.
Yeah, but let's see if we can undo that. I mean, that's why we're doing this. Again, there's a lot to love and appreciate, and so that's what we're going to focus on. And P.S. you street shitters, you are not a part of any future we have a deciding factor in. So this, of course, is the great struggle. And you notice too, the Indians, of course, they're very unified when they show up here in their own countries, when they don't have the backdrop of the white man's first world status, then it's dog eat dog over in India. They come here and suddenly it's dot, not feather nationalism. Okay, guys. We can see what's happening here. This means that your supposed solidarity is really nothing more than anti-whiteness once you deconstruct the essence of your supposed collectivism. It's all centered around hating the other, which we're always accused of doing. But interestingly, this is precisely what's occurring against whites. All right, let's go ahead to Always Honest, if she's available. If not, we'll take comments and or play the next segment. Let's see. She did say she's handling something at home, which is perfectly understandable. We have a, yes, we have a white woman doing all the things we want her to do. So we can't necessarily condemn her, and we don't mind dogs barking. I really like kids in the background. That's fine with me. And we love the sound of puppies and kitties and children playing. So all that's fine. Anyone else have further comment? If not, we'll play the next clip. All right. That means we've been very, very thorough. So here we have a leading indicator of cultural collapse here.
Starbucks is reversing its open door policy that was put in place after an incident in Philadelphia in 2018. That is when the store called police on two black men who had not bought anything while waiting to meet someone at the Starbucks at 18th and Spruce Streets. Video of their arrest led to national outrage, so the company implemented the open door policy. Since then, Starbucks locations across the country have dealt with safety issues. The company spokesperson says new rules will help them prioritize paying customers.
Okay, so you can see what's happening here. So
I didn't even get what's going on there. Can you kind of translate what?
Oh, sure. Yeah. So blacks, as usual, were taking up space or living their lives in Starbucks, as I like to say. And this means just like loitering without buying anything. They were having sex in the bathroom. They're taking drugs in the bathroom. They're sleeping in the bathroom. So Starbucks said, well, we are allowed to throw these people out. In the process of throwing them out, of course, with blacks, it's going to turn to violence. And then police are involved. And then you, Starbucks, are blamed, which I'm not a defender of Starbucks, but here's the facts of the matter. Starbucks gets demonized for enforcing a policy. And if you're, there was a trend in the middle of all this George Floyd stuff that Negroes could do no wrong. Everyone in the normie world who was drinking retard juice became Negrophilic all of a sudden. Negroes are the greatest thing ever. And they suffered a PR battle with the ADL, the JDL, and a couple of pro-black outfits. And now they're reversing their open-door policy, because after the Negro was arrested, they said, oh, no, we'll make up for it. We'll have an open-door policy. No more throwing the blacks out for living their lives. And now they're finding that they want to reverse the open-door policy, because the blacks are back to fighting, to pissing in the vestibule. They're having sex in the bathroom, doing drugs in the bathroom, sleeping in the bathrooms. And even Starbucks, libtard central of neoliberal late stage capitalism, even Starbucks is reversing its open door policy for the Nogs. So leading indicator of cultural collapse when the left can't even keep their bullshit straight. Yeah. So anyone have comments on that? We'll take it. If not, we could move on. But who wants to speak first about either the Starbucks issue or things like this? We're seeing things like this.
Well, isn't Starbucks a Jew-owned and run corporation?
Yes, right. So it was Jew versus Jew when the ADL was calling them out. And it's also Jew versus Jew when Black Lives Matter was calling them out, because, of course, that is a Jewish-run and created organization as well.
The snake is eating itself. It's starting to really happen now. Yeah, you know, like, so we can rejoice in that the snake is eating itself. It kind of curls around and starts at the tail end, and it's going to get further and further up towards the head. And attached to the belly of this snake are the worms, and the worms are the Gentiles who have become traitors and work for the Jews on the Jews' side, the Shabbos Goy, who are doing the Jews' bidding. They get eaten up too. Like, this is a process that is inevitable as this system that they have created collapses, and they're eating themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's shekels for a good goy. There you go.
Or do you think it's staged so that there can be sympathy, empathy, and perhaps this is staged. I mean, who in the world would actually, well, I guess in my own mind, I can't imagine all of the wrongs that these black people were doing in a public restroom, but could there be something even a little bit more heinous in the whole process? Because they try and pit You know, like who was the black man who supposedly was beaten by the police? What was his name? It was
George Floyd, you mean?
Yes. No. And it got the sympathy of so many folks, and yet it turned out that it was staged. So, you know, sometimes we have to do just the opposite, like you say, Monica, and look at the other side of it and see what they might gain from that. I don't know. But I'm just throwing that
out. On the
out.
Other hand, I do think that many of these blacks are very, very low IQ. There's no question there are some that are high IQ, but there are very many who are very low IQ, and they are, I would say, closer to animals than human, and I would not put it past them to be engaging in this behavior that was described, but what Davis described, all these things they're doing. And just like the Pajits, I mean, I've seen some documentaries on the Pajits in India, and I'm telling you, they're bathing in literally in the excrement of the sacred cow and drinking and eating their, you know, the sacred cow, you know, the piss and the excrement. I mean, I'm not kidding you. And this is what we're importing. So I think that these would be real situations, especially if you could, if these establishments are open to them to just hang out, loiter. I would think that that's actually, these things are happening. Just like libraries, they have a real problem in big cities. Libraries have a big problem with people loitering there and getting into all kinds of behavior, you know. So I don't know, that's my take on it, but of course all the world's a stage. I get what you're saying. I totally do. And it could be that individual instances there is theater going on, planned theater, but I wouldn't put it past that there's all kinds of behavior going on.
Oh yeah. And why not both, by the way? Why not donate to the cause of BLM as the ADL and JDL Jews put on that face while temporarily sacrificing some of the political capital of their soft power in Starbucks, which of course an international outfit. And this is a matter of soft power, believe it or not, with a lot of retards, is still a sort of idea of Starbucks being, when you've got a Starbucks in your area, you've made it or something. Like, you got a Starbucks in your area. Oh, so it's a good area. But meanwhile, we're hearing the stories of Starbucks. Doesn't mean it's a good area. But yeah, that's what they, Jews make real world pragmatic decisions about this. This is why you can have this, seemingly incoherent mess happening. But on the other hand, maybe the incoherency is organic, and maybe it is a matter of the Oberst or the snake eating its tail, which would be great news for us. Like, the fact we're discussing this means that the Jews either have to respond in novel ways or they are internally incoherent, which is, in either event, it's great news for us because you get the Jews on the back foot. Yeah, that would be something to consider.
So I am going to bow out soon now, and I just want to thank you all. This has been most interesting. It's always a good sign when the time flies by so quickly. So it was most enjoyable talking with all of you. Davis, Kathleen, always honest. And Canadian Girl, you're back there, and nice to meet you. Really nice to meet you. I hope that we have many more discussions with you, because I am just saying, yeah, you go, you go. I'm going to check out your site there, and we'll be in touch. Yeah,
thank you very much. I messaged you a while back on Facebook.
Oh, I haven't seen that. Did I respond? Anyway, we'll talk.
Yeah, I responded. I told you that I'd been arrested in Canada for racism.
Oh, that's okay. I'm putting two and two together right now. Thanks. I'm a bit slow sometimes, and I've got lots going on. So sorry, I didn't put it together.
No problem.
I'm the worst. I'm the worst with answering messages. I'll admit it. Yeah, sometimes it's just a flurry of contacts and communications, and it can get lost. But this really does stand out, this business of you're being so you're essentially charged with, as we see here, public incitement of hatred, willful promotion of hatred. And without being convicted of any crimes, you were then banned from using the internet until – November, which is, of course, why you're back now. So,
well, I didn't actually stay off. I disregarded.
Good for you.
Disregarded it. That's even better.
Yeah. Good for you. Also, okay.
The my probation is they. I had my court date, and they didn't proceed, and they also didn't drop the charges. So they're just sort of in limbo. Like they have a year to collect. They did decide to keep my phone longer, so they have like a year to reinstate the charges. But that did in the meantime drop my probation. So I'm technically allowed on the internet now anyway. So, but I never stopped. So
good for you. All right. Okay. Well, everyone,
we'll be in touch.
Monica. Yes, indeed. Monica, thanks again for being with us. Your input's always very valuable. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Okay. Bye bye.
All right. She's stepping out, but we're still sticking around. And let's just, if Always Honest can hear us, here's what she should do. When she's back, put in the private chat that you're back, and then I'll know to go to you. Otherwise, we keep checking in, and that's sort of, that's not good radio. Let's not do that. All right, so let's do the following instead. Remind you to go to GiveSendGo, and there it is. Wow, she looks so lovely, and this is a bad look for Jews, by the way. To keep taking these bad optics hits. I mean, this is bad optics, Kikes, but I guess you think it's worth it. So, you know, we'll see how this turns out, but everyone should support her. That's really, really important. And money be good. That'd be better than sharing, but here you can see you can also share. You can have QR code, print a poster, or on any social medias or to your email list. It would also be great. So go ahead and get the word out, please. Yes, for Canadian girl. She's been.
I make a poster. So hold up a poster about your racist feelings.
Yeah, look at this printed poster. Make a damn poster. All right. Yeah. And go ahead and stand out in front of. I guess the idea of you standing in front of Tim Hortons was what? Some sort of cross pollinating of people that enjoyed Tim Hortons? Or is Tim Hortons itself a meme already? Why do you think it caught fire so quickly? Oops, it appears she's muted or unable to speak with us at the moment. All right, well, there we go. We'll go to Kathleen. Do you have any recent examples of excellent, successful promotional campaigns? Maybe not ones you've done, but ones you've seen?
Oh, well, yes. And so this is the positive news. There is a couple who have started a community in Tennessee, Eastern Tennessee. Uh-huh. And the fellow has practiced architecture for some time. I've actually met him. He had initially tried to buy my property and was unable to, and then later contacted me and rented some one of my buildings here. His partner and he have purchased a large piece of property, and they're using hempcrete and creating sustainable building. And it's a very exciting project that they're working on. And they have numerous families that are now living there, and they're at the very kind of the beginning of it. They've only been developing it for about a year, but Paul is a very creative man, and he has brought the very best to this particular community. He's looked at others, looked at intentional communities in Russia since the fall of the Soviet Union and why most of those collapsed, and then a number of them in the United States that haven't been successful. And so they're really doing a fine, fine job. I'm trying to remember the name of it. I'd have to go to my email and find it. But yes, the name, I think it's called Haven Village, havenvillage.net or .org, or maybe it's .com, but they're in Tennessee. And I was just so delighted to see the work that they're doing. It was so positive. And at a time like this, when just 2 weeks into the new year, we're seeing catastrophe after catastrophe. And it's not just, you know, dotting the days of the weeks of these first 2 weeks of January, but it's continuous with the fires and Trump talking about it, tariffs and the debt and,
oh, and renaming the Gulf of Mexico and taking over Greenland and all absurdities that I
and taking Justin Trudeau and having him be the governor of the 51st state of the United States by taking Canada in under their umbrella. I mean, all of this. So to see this interview and to see what they're doing, it was just an infusion of positivity. So I urge everyone to take a look at that. And they're expanding and they're looking for people who would be a good fit in their development as well. So Haven Village.
Haven Village. Okay, if you provide us a link, we'll go ahead and take a look. Let's see if Always Honest is able to hear us. Oh, dear. No, she dropped off. Oh, no. All right. Okay. Well, that's all right. We can either get a clarification from Canadian Girl. I do have a question for her from someone in our chat. It's a very good question. If Canadian Girl's able to hear us, then she could reply with, what were the tweets that so excited and agitated the Canadian authorities? What got you in trouble? I guess that's what they're wondering. And then she's gone. No big deal. But all right. So we'll see if Always Honest is able to speak. Let's see if she has an opinion on anything discussed thus far. And then we'll try to hit up Canadian Girl about the exact nature of the tweets there. That what's so agitated the authorities? Always Honest, you're able to check. Oh, hi there. Okay. While we have. People were wondering, what were the tweets that got them so upset?
I may or may not have posted a picture of a Muslim girl in what was, up until that point, an all-white staffed place that was really cute. It kind of felt really old-fashioned. It was like an ice cream store. And it was just all these like cute white girls serving ice cream to people and felt very 50s-esque. And then one day there was a Muslim, and I may or may not have taken a photo and displayed that with a saying that this Muslim ruining this white nice ambiance. And then also I did a video, I may or may not have done a video, where I was giving Indians the finger driving in a car telling them that they're going home.
Yeah, you may have, right. I don't think you've done any of that, but that sounds like a great idea.
I've seen those videos. I'm not sure if that was me or not.
I like where your head's at. So whoever did that, congrats. That sounds great. Sounds like good activism. Activism that confirms what people already think, it can free them. You know what I mean?
But you know,
go ahead.
It's really weird too. Like, you know, we're never supposed to come across. I mean, we invented boats and we invented airplanes, which unfortunately brought these people to our countries. But we're really never supposed to see a Muslim in our entire lives, right? We're white Europeans. I'm in Canada. Why is like this person from the desert wearing a garbage bag in my country? Yeah. Why am I looking at them?
Well, yeah, the answer is because Jews prefer the camouflage of cultural morass. Jews are misfit toys, so they prefer to force everyone to live on the island of misfit toys. There's the answer. That's the long and short of it. And they do need the camouflage because, boy, without the insanity of this miscegenation, the Jew would really stand out a lot more. So they're architecting the backdrop against which makes them more stealthy. That's really what they're up to, I think.
It's a biological like norm, I think, to whether a cat looks at a dog and goes, wow, what's that? But to be startled by the presence of someone who is not of your ilk, and to have a desert wanderer suddenly in Canada, you know, and I'm like, what the fuck is that? Why is that here? And I think that there should be a grandfather clause that anyone who has grown up in without the desert people should be able to be like, whoa, what the fuck is that? You know, and I mean, we need to change it either way, but like, we should at least acknowledge a grandfather clause too, right? I mean, you've got 90-year-olds who have spent 90 years, you know, or maybe 70 years, right, in a white country.
Oh, dear. You may have cut out there, but we'll give it a moment to come back. Let's see. FTJ asking, your X channel. There it is. I just gave that. I'll do the same over here, in fact. There, we just gave her X channel, which looks like this. So here's where she tweets. Oh, sorry. She X posts. What a clumsy way of saying it. But there it is. Let's do a check immediately on, let's see. Ah, is Always Honest available? She said, okay. Yes. Excellent. How are you, dear?
I'm just kind of losing it a little bit here because I'm cooking dinner, and then I have aquariums, so I had a bit of a fish emergency. All my fish were dying all of a sudden. I had to dig them all out of the aquarium, set them up to try to save them. I lost a couple, so, you know, I have too much stuff going on. I shouldn't have this many pets. According to my husband, I shouldn't have this many pets, so.
There you go.
Say something about all the Indian invasion and how intentional this is and how it is a planned thing in India, and they're pretty much all aware of it. So about 3 months ago, it was right around Halloween maybe, between Halloween and Thanksgiving, there was a viral video that went around of a prominent professional Indian man who said he was going to basically, he was having an interview, and I'm sorry, dinner's cooking in the background if you're hearing crackling.
It's quite all right.
So this guy basically admits that Indian people are coming to America to destroy this country and Canada, to destroy the Western countries, and then when it's all destroyed, they're all going to go back to India.
Oh, boy.
And by the way, Indians, Pakistanis, Afghanis are not considered Arabs. I know some people, like, put all those together, but, like, they're not really considered Middle Eastern.
So, Indians, clarify that for us. What is their category?
Well, they're individual. So, Indians are Indians. So, Indies, Pakis, and Afghanistans are all in one category, the three of them. With the Afghans probably being in the bottom of the cast, or no, possibly the Pakis being on the bottom, Afghans in the middle, and then the Indians on the top of it. And then it even gets more diluted as you go into the cast in India. And that's strictly, there's actual family names that dominate. You know, you'll get like Shahs and what's the other one? Patel.
Those are
historically whiter or lighter. They can never be white, but they're lighter in Indian with the dot.
Right.
So there's some kind of a thing. Like, they're really coming over to these Western countries to cause problems. And they know they're doing it. And they know they're going back home after they've done their destruction.
Well, they're going to go back home, either way now.
You bet your butt.
You know, in India, they would make about $3,000 a year, even with the high-tech jobs, like the IT jobs and stuff. You're looking at an income of about $3,000 per year. And here, obviously, that's like, 20-fold.
Or more. They're making like 150, 180, 200. Some of the engineers over here.
Yeah.
They're making so much money, it's unreal. They're the reason that all the prices of everything have skyrocketed, particularly in California, Silicon Valley, even Los Angeles has quite a bit. They're just everywhere. We have a lot of Indians in the Silicon Valley area. They have infiltrated.
Yeah, they appear to be everywhere. And
I can't stand them. My girlfriend used to run the Acura dealership, and she would give them so much shit because, like, she would charge them an extra $5,000 on a car and give them a free mug just to shut them up, and they'd be happy with it.
That's
here's
great.
Here's a Lexus mug.
That's funny.
Times she would call me, and she'd crack me up. She's a little Korean girl. And, we're all mixed up over here. And she was running the dealership, and she would tell me, they come in and they look at me like I'm a little chick or something. I'm not, I can't possibly be stronger than them. So they look at me and they say, you are not going to fuck me today.
Oh, God. I know, well, yeah, ridiculous. conflating these shitskin not feather, well, and feather, frankly, too, and Arab peoples is really problematic, because this is like conflating two peoples who couldn't be more radically different. So you've got the Arabs who essentially invented the mathematics everyone uses, and then you've got dots, not feathers, and they invented street shitting. So you can see really no overlap is the issue. And they also don't look alike, so there's that. Obviously, two different peoples. And so there we just heard from Always Honest. That's wonderful. We're glad to have her and now keep her on. So that was good. That was good.
No. She's right. Thank you. Right out of Nazi Germany.
Oh, there you go. A lot of trouble she's in. All right. Anything to say about that Canadian girl? I know you have strong feelings on the Indians. You've already spoken about that. But anything else you want to comment on? If not, we'll play another news story. Ah, let's see if we still
instead, have it. She decides to go racial.
Every single time. And it works out pretty well, really. So, yeah. So there you go. So now we have all these women are really becoming their own phenomenon. This is pretty great.
And she's become a phenom.
Right. I should have said phenom. That'd be more correct. All right. Well, we have Canadian girls back with us. And Kathleen is with us. Kathleen, I'll unmute you. You seem to have been muted. All right. There we go.
I wanted to make a comment about what something that Always Honest talked about. There was a Substack article on Aryans in India that I was reading today. And I've seen it elsewhere, written about the fact that the Vikings were, they were seagoing in the and they were known to have all gone all the way to India. And we can see that by looking at the Buddhas that were blue-eyed and blonde-haired, and there was a lot of reference to the Indians having Aryan features and Aryan skin. And so the point of the initial article that I read was that we are very much alike in terms of even our genetics to a lot of these races that has been hidden from us and that we haven't even known about. So I find that really interesting. The fairer skinned Indians with the dot could have a higher percentage of the Aryan DNA and ancestry. So I don't know what.
I know we have a lot in common with Iranian peoples, because that's Iranian is anchored in the word Aryan. Very interesting. Yeah, the white people are super diverse. You know, that's what we have to learn, is that the sort of typical, strangely enough, the Hollywood version of a Nazi, quote unquote, comes from the campaign posters that Germans use. And the only reason they made a lot of their poster artwork for Third Reich propaganda, the only reason they made them blonde-haired and blue-eyed is because they had a huge campaign to turn Norway. So they were occupying Norway, and they, of course, wanted the Third Reich imagery to resonate with the Norwegian peoples. And then they made so much of this propaganda, it came to typify what in the public mind a lot of people think is Nazi propaganda, but it was much more than that. Nazis showed a great diversity of white people. Hitler considered all Iranians honorary Aryans, and he was going to carve out an economic zone in the area of Poland in Danzig that literally he would have had within the Third Reich. He would have had Iranians. So it just goes to show that these people have these purity struggles like wrestling matches with their own imaginations about who's white. You really don't have an argument with me. You better go have it with Hitler. So go read what he said. Go read the Nuremberg laws. They're pretty clear about race, what Jewish means, what Jewish doesn't mean, what Jews can even still work in the bureaucracy serving a purpose. So they were quite permissive. Like, you might want to, I don't know, you might just want to check with reality on some of that. That's all I'm suggesting. All right. Anyone have anything else to add? If not, we could play another clip.
I just put a link in the chat. To a guy's name is Jayant Bhandari, and he's an Indian guy who's actually quite anti-Indian. And he has a lot of podcasts and things. I've been a guest on his show like 3 times. But he'll have people on who will come and talk about like.
Yeah, we're looking at it now. I know you're struggling with your internet. Go ahead. You cut out a little bit. If this is you back. If not, we're still looking at Jayant Bhandari. Yeah. Oh, look at that. You can go to his YouTube channel. Yeah, maybe we'll find the interview she did with him. That'd be cool. All right. Yeah, I guess, you know, if you have to have any kind of Indian, it would be anti-Indians. That'd be pretty sweet. But he, too, has to go. Hate to break it to you, Jayant. You, too, would have to go. But we appreciate his stance, I suppose. Anyone with any further comments on that? Sorry, it appears we lost. Oh, no, Canadian girl's still here, actually. Canadian girl, you cut out for a bit. Are you still there? Okay, no, that must be... Okay, that's Kathleen's audio. Very good. All right. Without further ado, we're going to move to the next tidbit here. Let's go ahead and take a listen. So this would be about the TikTok laws. And, of course, we'll start with a TikTok blackmail piece.
Yeah, in court, Prelogger said, I mean, think about it. Beijing has all of this information on millions of teenagers now, but, you know, maybe they don't want to do anything with it now, but weaponize it later when some of these teens say, you know, take jobs with the government or maybe join the military.
Oh, so in other words, the Chinese are going to use information against this this youth culture participation later, but Jews would never do that. No. This is what I mean by the framing. You can see the framing has changed. Jews are able to look through their weird little keyhole. And therefore, we're allowed to consider that the Chinese might blackmail people. But the ADL would never do that. The ADL doesn't do that. Okay, on to the TikTok law bit, and then we'll comment.
Bobby, let me start with you. What does this law actually do on the 19th? The TikTok lawyer today kept saying that TikTok would go dark. Is that an overstatement?
Yeah, on January 19th, Apple and Google will be legally forced to remove TikTok from app stores. And that means new users can't download it. And ByteDance in China will not be able to send the app software updates. Also, web hosting services that provide backend support for TikTok will have to sever ties. That means it's not going to have any cloud support. That's going to be a huge problem for all of the people taking videos, commenting, trying to use TikTok, because basically it will cripple TikTok's infrastructure.
And Marcia, in the arguments today, what were the justices focusing on?
John, they were really focused on the 2 reasons that Congress and the administration have given to justify the law, as Bobby just stated it. That had to do with the fact that the Chinese government, through its very close alignment with ByteDance, the China-based owner of TikTok, may engage in covert content manipulation, as well as its collection of the data of private citizens, Americans, about 177 million Americans and their contacts, and use both of those to undermine national security.
There was also a First Amendment argument, wasn't there?
Well, actually, the guts of this case is whether the law itself violates the First Amendment speech rights of TikTok USA and the users of TikTok. They're called creators, those who put content up on TikTok.
There you go. This is like blackmail again. So they're holding, the Jews are holding TikTok ransom, it seems, that they'll just disconnect it from app access, which is the way like 99% of the world is going to get to access TikTok. And then the additional step will be hollowing TikTok out and replacing the original algorithm, which the Chinese are not apt to give anybody. They'll just replace it with Americanized, which means Judaized algorithms. Fascinating, really, this change in TikTok. And Yeah, I hope it really, really angers the youth culture because they love their TikTok. So I want them to be really angry with Jews. So I hope it happens, frankly. I know it's a good tool for us, but the anger it would engender in the young, I mean, really, this could be exciting. Anyone have comments? I believe we have Canadian Girl back. We could also hear from Kathleen or Always Honest is up to speak. There we go.
Yeah, so I'm on TikTok and what I'm seeing happening now is pretty interesting. So the people that are on TikTok are going to, is it Redbook? And they are logging on. And when they log on, they have to agree to the Communist Party's socialist requirements.
Yeah.
In order to be able to log on and do it. And then you can put it in English and it functions very similar to TikTok. I'm not going to venture down that road because I'm not going to agree to the Communist Socialist Party's requirements. So I won't be seeing it. But what I'm seeing is people posting their experiences on the app. And then I'm also seeing Chinese people posting their experiences with American people that are coming into that app. And it's really interesting. So, and I'm not sure if they're being propagandized by the Communist Party or if these are real Chinese people, because what they're saying is the Chinese people are very warm. They want to communicate with you. They want to, and they talk about things like their animals, their jobs, how much they dislike their government. They say things, you know, in code. And they're very similar to us. They feel for us. And they were just so excited and so welcoming of the Americans. And then you have some Chinese. And this was the general thoughts of people who had gone onto that site, registered, and moved their TikTok accounts over to Redbook. And then you have the Asians, the Chinese, that are experiencing this. And what they're saying is, I guess in schools for many, many years, they would teach children to write letters to their Western neighbors. And they would like give them a subject, like you're going to write to Tom in Louisiana and, you know, you're going to wish him a happy holiday. Right. And then all the kids would write about it. And this has been going on for 20, 30 years there. So all of these children are growing up with a connection to Western people because they have to write it in English because they're trying to reach communications with English-speaking Americans, and it's specific to Americans. And what they say is it's almost like the letters are being answered because all of a sudden, out of nowhere, with no one expecting it, in a Chinese market, all of these American people are on their site, and they couldn't be happier to have them.
That is an interesting
phenomenon. Yeah.
You know, that's like that's a great example of soft power. So what the Chinese did was they put in a system of this pen palling, and that was like a soft power insertion into U.S. culture. And they knew that someday it would pay off if they wanted to resist like a Zionist global empirism, the foreign adventurism. It has paid off. People are more accepting. I don't know who they're hearing from, but they probably are hearing from both the Communist Party and real people, it seems. Right.
You know, and we're learning about Chinese culture. So they're telling us things like Chinese people, the majority of them own their homes. They don't have mortgages. They own their homes. And once they own them, they don't pay property taxes. So if they lose their jobs, they don't kick out of their homes. They have until they die. They also have really clean supermarkets with, you know, all kinds of stuff. They have a lot of vending. And of course, you have to deal with their digital system, right? Everything's digitized, but they don't use currency. They seem really content in their living standards. And then they show photographs and videos of their cities, and like Shanghai is incredible. It looks like some futuristic dreamscape for a city.
That's amazing.
This is unreal stuff. Like, I am just flabbergasted watching the exchange between the Americans and the Chinese. They're in love with each other.
Yeah,
it's literally love. And they call themselves TikTok refugees.
Yes, I've heard that phrase. That's pretty great.
So, I mean, I was tempted to sign on just because it seems like such a fun environment. But, you know, I'm a bit more of an adult and I understand the realness behind that. So I'm definitely not going to go there. But it's definitely people are being greeted with warmth, kindness, and love by the Chinese people. And it's being reciprocated in both directions. So it's pretty amazing to watch.
And it sounds like they're getting a different set of videos than the propagandized ones, because we only see overcrowding. We see the malcontented, distant people.
Do you know what
we only see these, this bullshit.
You know what the homeless percentage is? It's 0.021.
Sheesh. It's like non-existent.
They don't have any homeless people.
Wow.
No one's homeless.
Oh, man. I was just about to go to her. We didn't catch Canadian girls having so much trouble staying logged on. I think they really must be fucking with their internet. I don't know what another good explanation. Kathleen, anything to add to that?
Well, I do. I think it's so critical that we realize that it's a communist country. It's a communist-run country. And under communism, you know, you're not free. And there's tremendous censorship. And, you know, there's got to be something in what's going on in that exchange that's not quite meeting the ticket. My sister-in-law was born and raised in Cuba. She grew up in a communist regime. The repression was horrific. And to this day, and she spends a lot of her time, she's a Canadian citizen, spends a lot of her time in Canada, but she's also spending time in the United States. And in spite of Trump, she thinks that he has some positive things and certainly doesn't see anything positive about Trudeau. So, you know, a communist regime is just, you know, it's Marxist. It's, you know, the Communist Manifesto is what runs people's lives through the government. So there's something that we're not seeing, and perhaps that's the control, perhaps that's the censorship that the communist government is doing as an overlay, and why this exchange is being able to happen. But is that exchange authentic, I would ask?
Yeah, that's what we were thinking. It's probably both. It's probably a combination of propaganda and authentic videos. But really, when it comes to these choices, though, these are grown-up choices. We understand that you can pick your fear. There will be fear in your life. There will be degrees of security. There will be exchanges for that security. So you can fear in a quote unquote free market system of capitalism. You can choose to have the fear of, when will the Negro rape my mother, sister, daughter? Or you could choose the fear of communist totalitarianism. Also, I'll add this, by the way. I would personally prefer the latter. That's just me, because there's the Negro violence is so random and unpredictable that I would prefer the routine of communism. Okay. Just as an example of how you need to make grown up decisions and understand there's upsides and downsides to every system. There is no panacea. It does not exist until we make it. Now, when it comes to communist regimes, though, it needs to be said, results may vary. So the Cuban example may not be like the Chinese example. The Chinese are uniquely homogenous people, and who knows? I bet you there's a lack of rough uniformity about how pleasant communism is across the entire, the entirety of China. However, I bet you there's some real pockets of nice living. So anyway, I just think it should be said with you know, without reckless abandon. Let's not do the baby bathwater and that whole routine until we know more. I don't know enough. All I know is the lies I've been told about China.
May I say something? So
certainly, go right ahead.
Kathleen, I tend to agree with you because I don't think that anything that we experience on the internet is by accidents or coincidental. I do believe that those people are being propagandized into a soft acceptance of communism. They're trying to make them think that it's this beautiful, wonderful thing. You get to own your house and everybody shares and we're all loving and kind. But, you know, we also know that there's people who can't even get on a bus or go into a grocery store. And they're constantly, my understanding is they all have cameras in their homes. That's how much surveillance is on them. Now, unless all that stuff is crap and none of it is real. And I know people who lived in China and they didn't experience any of that stuff, you know. The person I know that lived there was a homosexual man. So I don't know what his experiences were. Maybe homosexual Chinese men are different. I have no idea. But my feeling was that these people are being led down a very scary path. And keep in mind, there's 170 million Americans on that site, all watching this.
Wow. Yeah, that's incredible.
They all speak like us about Jewry. All of them. This is why they're all going away, because they literally are awake. They know them all. They know all of the conspiracy theories that are real, that we all talk about, including the Jew, the Palestinian situation, Zionism, the protocols of Zion. They know all of it. 170 million people are being taken off of TikTok because they don't want them talking to each other anymore or exposing anything else to the rest of the world. And Americans are known. So these are things that they're getting, and they're telling them stuff that, you know, the rest of the world thinks about America. They think we're a third world country with the perception of freedom, but we don't have any choices. And they also call us a third world country with a Gucci bag.
Yeah, that's about right. Yeah. Yep.
And this is how Americans are known throughout the world, according to this red book site and its cohorts.
Well, they've got our number, I'll tell you that.
She's become a phenom.
They've got our number. Go ahead.
Oh no, I was oh, hi baby. I'm sorry, my baby just woke up. I'm gonna give him a big hug. Go ahead.
Oh, there you go. Is that literal? Either it's a literal baby or it's Cooper. We're gonna find out. Yeah. So there we have it. You fucked up, Jews.
And she's become a phenom.
Yeah, you seem to have. This is called unintended consequences. This can happen where Jews think one thing will happen and yet another thing happens because, you know, man plans and God laughs. There you go. So I hope it literally is out of the pan into the fire. That's pretty great. I like that. I like that the red book is blowing up. And as I don't know much about homosexuals in China, but, you know, I would say stick with the red book and not the pink sock. Let's do that.
No. She's right. Thank you. Right out of Nazi Germany.
There you go. All right, everybody. We have Canadian Girl back. So while she's still with us, suffering through Elon Musk's Starlink, which I don't know if she uses that. I'm kidding around. Let's go ahead back to Canadian Girl.
And I hate to interrupt, but I have to leave. And oops, there.
Oh, she just left again.
There she goes. Well, no. I hope I didn't jinx that, but it's been a great show, and thank you, Davis, and it's lovely to see you in quotes, always honest, and to hear all of your great comments. So another time. Thank you much.
Thanks.
There you go. Okay.
Great to see you again. Have a wonderful evening.
You too.
Thank you for joining us. Ever valuable input. Thank you so much, Kathleen. Everybody saw Kathleen's. Yes, indeed. We'll see you next time. And everyone saw Kathleen's links. And of course, we enjoyed having her and always do. Take care, dear. And we do have Canadian Girl back now. So let's immediately go to her so that we don't. let's avoid the drop off. Are you on Starlink? That would be funny if you were.
No, I don't know. I was in a what's it called? StreamYard?
Space Before, and the same thing happened. I don't really understand it. I don't know what I'm doing wrong, but
even with a different browser.
Yeah, I've done a couple browsers. I've like turned off everything in my house other than my phone. So I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm on a phone. I was going to say regarding that Indian guy, that Jayant Bhandari, right?
Yes.
He really dislikes Indians, so he posts a lot of like anti-Indian content, and it's definitely worth a look. Because he basically gives the scoop on what kind of degenerate culture it is, and the fact that there's, you know, it's a pretty awful place. So if anyone's anti-Indian, that's a great resource.
Nice. Yes, I'm looking at this now. It does look very interesting.
Yeah, wow. He's super anti-Indian. Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Well, we can use him now and then send him back when it's all over.
Exactly.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah, do your worst, Jayant Bhandari. Okay, great.
Yeah.
So while we still have you, because you've been dropping a lot, have you heard, have you been able to hear in between? Do you have a comment on anything else? And we'll leave Jayant's, Jayant.
I don't know about the Red Book thing. It sounds interesting regarding the communists. And I've known Chinese people, and like, you know, they're a fairly guarded people though, too. So I don't think that we would really get like a lot of truth from them. They're kind of like the Japanese. They're not really an open book. You know, so it's a red book, not an open book.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, that there's this cultural difference, and we might have certain expectations of them, or even treat them like a blank slate and write onto them what we think they're saying. But yeah, something tells me you don't get a straight story from the Chinese. Yeah, they do seem very guarded. But lucky for us, we have Jonathan Greenblatt working with Silicon Valley, monitoring all the platforms, so we're all safe from Redbook.
I have software engineers and data scientists working at ADL. We're monitoring all the platforms, by the way, Google and YouTube and Meta and Twitter and Reddit and Steam and Amazon, all these companies. Apple to Zoom, we work with all of them, okay? We've been working with Twitter now since it was founded.
Oh, there you go. Right. So he's working closely with Elon Musk, everyone. We're all saved. There you go. All right. Anyone ever, any other further comment? If not, we'll play the next clip in the series.
Instead, she decides to go racial.
Yeah. Well, it's worked out. You know what? That's how Canadian Girl does it. That's how Always Honest does it. And so far, it's worked out pretty well for them. So anyone else have been? Oh, it's just Always Honest and I now. Oh, boy, the big drop off has happened. Well, if Always Honest doesn't have any comment, let's see. We'll give her 3, 2, 1. See, she's still hugging Cooper. All right. Let's go ahead and we'll play the clip. And good. Canadian Girl's here. So we'll play the next clip and then get our take from the participants. Here we go.
Today during the arguments, it was very interesting because there was a lot of skepticism.
This, of course, is the TikTok PBS piece, part 2. So we're hearing about how essentially the Jews are holding TikTok for ransom, essentially hollowing it out, making its functionality disabled in the U.S. They don't need to do more than that. They need to remove it from app stores, which reduces its value by 90%. This is the level at which Jews are working to disable TikTok. And of course, we know that's because Jonathan Greenblatt, as we played, has a major, major, major TikTok problem. They have a major Gen Z problem. So they're trying to clip this branch, so to speak, in budding anti-Semitism.
About the first justification of the Chinese government engaging in manipulation, covert manipulation of content, and whether there actually was
covert manipulation of content. Wow. We should really, it sounds like we should be terrified. I suppose I'm just too dumb to know the difference between communist propaganda. So good thing Greenblatt's there to protect us all.
A speech interest here look at, as some of the justices said, and I'll point in particular to Chief Justice Roberts. He said Congress didn't care about the expression on TikTok, meaning the speech or the ideas on TikTok. Congress didn't want to stop TikTok, he said. What Congress wanted to do was to stop China's control of TikTok. So he was very skeptical that there was a speech right here. Also, there were justices who did recognize there were speech rights belonging to TikTok USA and the users of TikTok. But they questioned, for example, Justice Elena Kagan questioned whether that those speech impediments or restrictions were really substantial, because the law itself, she said, really was targeted at ByteDance and its divestiture.
Were the justices more skeptical of one side or the other? Did they tip their hand at all about what they might do?
Yeah, they just did whatever the Jews wanted, right? So what does that mean? That, we're hobbling ByteDance. Like, yeah, okay, ByteDance is the holding company. You devalue the product by decoupling it from an app store. Like, yeah, seems pretty simple. You're holding this foreign entity over a cliff and telling him you're going to let go. So anyway, this is how the Jews work. This is soft power. This is hard power. Let's go see if anyone has comments thus far. Ah, we have both muted. Let me try to unmute. Ah, there's Canadian girl. How are you?
Hey there. Yeah, I was actually, because I'm in a lot of white nationalist spaces. I know that white nationalism has been just booming and going like record numbers on TikTok. So, like, obviously they had to control that. Like, they were playing Hitler's, like, translated speeches. And, yeah, Gen Z was – did I drop out again?
No, you're still here.
Oh, okay. So frustrating. But, I think they're in for a world of trouble with this whole banning TikTok thing. It's the can of worms is like out of the bag, or whatever the expression is. But
it actually works. Yeah,
you're done,
dude. They have messed up, or do that.
Yeah.
I do think Jews can make mistakes. This is the great thing about
the internet's their mistake,
right? It's true. Yeah. It started off like the Wild West, and they're trying to wrangle this thing.
Yeah, it's actually pretty amazing.
It truly is.
Did you see on X, they actually have a JQ radio, and it's all constant Hitler speeches translated.
It's
24/7. It's fantastic.
And it's not gone anywhere yet, which is really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. The kids on TikTok, again, I don't really understand all this, but there's something called Funk Wave, which is the soundtrack or the type of music that we're putting with the translated Hitler videos, which of course aren't necessarily and couldn't possibly be considered pro-Hitler. Actually, it's just Hitler's words. So you have a historical figure being translated. This, like, in a normal world that isn't controlled by Jews, this wouldn't be controversial, where you're just translating a historical figure. But you see the reaction it gets, and that's because America a long time ago decided, rather than improve the material existence of their people's lives, it was better to just point out how bad Hitler is, make him the devil god of, you know, your ego and subconscious or whatever. And then you don't have to do anything for people. You just have to say, look, we're not Hitler. We're not Hitler. At least we're not Hitler. And they've been doing this for years. This is why
we're not speaking German.
See, that's a perfect example of it. Yeah, like, at least we're not speaking German. No. How about, you know, fuck your fallback on what language you're speaking. Let's talk about improving the material conditions of white people's lives. Instead, you want to keep rattling that thing that you want to rattle that thing you're holding and say, but we're not Hitler. We're not, at least we're not Hitler. It's not working anymore. People want to live. They want to afford a home in the neighborhood they grew up in. And just saying, we're not Hitler, is not really paying off for anybody. So this is running out for you, Jews. You have a choice to make. You know, they're going to put themselves in a position, frankly. I know I'm not about the Fed post, don't worry. But it might sound radical to some people. But we need to do all of this that we're doing, all the peaceful protesting. We need to take all these actions. But there's a lot of people out there that feel like me. They know how this is going to end anyway. It's going to end in absolute frustration. It's going to end in a position where if Jews make peaceful transfer of power or change to improve our lives, if they make this impossible, you're just going to get violence, and it's going to end in a blanket of ash. And when that happens, I hope I'm still alive to remind you, Jews, you asked for this. What is about to happen, you've asked for it. because you've made peaceful change impossible. And we are trying, for God's sake, to be decent people. We're just saying, we just want to live in a country worth living in. And you're making this fucking impossible because of your ethnic hostility. So, just a reminder. But
decent people are violent too, though.
Oh, decent people are violent, and we can be and should nothing, be.
Nothing wrong with violence.
No, we need to. I just don't want to get you in trouble with the Fed posting and all that.
Yeah, that's okay.
Of course. Yeah, so we do need to choose our words carefully. But there's going to come a time, by the way, yes. So when the Jews are beaten like piñatas and when they're dragged out of their overturned cars and, well, who knows, maybe tarred, feathered, or maybe we get to piss on the smoldering corpse of a Jew. When that happens, it's going to be because we've literally tried everything else and you've made it impossible to do anything else. So when it happens, Jews, just know you have literally asked for it. Okay, we're asking for everything but, and you're going to make us do it. I just know you're going to fucking make us do it. And I lose sleep over this, but it's happening. It's going to happen. Okay, unless, of course, some miracle occurs whereby white people can do something like a white strike or some kind of solidarity enough to make ourselves a power parity to the Jewish power, the disproportionate Jewish power, the illegitimate Jewish power that runs our nations. Are once free and white nations. So, you know, that's where we stand. We don't like where we stand, but guess what? It's coming. It's coming. So make your choice or don't. I kind of don't give a shit at this point because it's all coming down. Always Honest or Canadian Girl have a comment about that. And that was I speak for myself. Okay. I don't want anyone else to think that I'm speaking for anyone else in any other countries.
I'll just say here. No, I was actually like when I was a teen, I was because of Jewry, I was forced to have abortions by social workers. So they've you know held down by doctors and nurses in communist China. I mean, Canada, and so yeah, like I'm fully on board with them getting whatever they deserve, you know, because they deprived me of motherhood. So anything that they get, they had coming. Absolutely.
They've got it coming. Yes, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. However, so many fronts. Look at all the mutilated children missing their genitals right now. Like, that's what they've got coming.
Yeah, thank God that's trend, supposedly, if we're to assume all the data is true, supposedly that trend is reversing. So people having intact babies and leaving them that way instead of mutilating them. This is good news.
Well, and also the trans thing. I mean, I know that the dead.
Okay, yeah, I was thinking circumcision, but yes, of course.
I meant sort of those pure, poor, like, mutilated teens, right?
That's horrible.
You know, they're going to be angry as hell when they get out of their teen years and realize, like, how their minds have been messed with, you know? But also, I know we're on a positive upswing because, like, you don't even hear about Drag Queen Story Hour anymore. It's gone.
Well, that's true. Yeah. Yes, it's a cultural battle, and that's why they don't remind us of it, because, that's one we won. They're not going to remind us of what we've won. Of course not.
Yeah.
I don't know how real this is. I mean, boy, is this so strange. There was a paraplegic. Oh, it's been taken down. You got to be kidding me.
Oh, I saw that one.
Yeah, you saw that paraplegic. I don't know if that was real, though. It seems so off-putting and strange, but I guess it could be. It could be that somehow Jews solicited consent out of his noises. I don't know. How does that work?
I think it would be a girl because she had double mastectomies, right? So it would be a woman.
Yeah, I'm assuming, unless it was like a guy who needed that. I don't know. I mean,
it is again, possible that maybe, you know, there are medical conditions where guys develop breasts a little.
Yeah,
I forget what the name of it is, but yeah.
Especially, well, it's called bitch tits, and that's because a lot of men are bitches now. So there's that. Anyway, yeah. I don't know. I keep an open mind. I don't know if it's exactly what we're supposed to understand from it, but it sure...
I think it's also a side effect of, like, Adderall, if I'm not mistaken, is prone to giving men boobs.
Oh, really? Well, that kind of figures. I don't know if that's the case, but... Wow. Wouldn't that be, that'd be something. Jews are poisoning our children with pharmaceutical grade methamphetamines and it gives them tits. Good Lord.
I know that Comfy Friend actually had posted a response to that. So it's on his timeline if you're looking for it.
Oh, good. Yes. Comfy Friend is. That's solid. That's solid.
Soy also gives men breasts.
Soy, you say?
Uh-huh, yes.
Oh, brother.
Yes. Soybeans, soy. Mm-hmm. Tofu. Men should never be eating tofu. It's actually,
I kind of dispute that one because otherwise you would see a bunch of like...
Whoops. Go ahead. Oh, no. Hello, hello.
A bunch of Asian men with boobs, there are in China.
Okay.
Well, I think they are everywhere, but yeah, I mean, it does. I think it's what they derive estrogen from, is the soy plant. So they make a synthetic version of it. I think so.
Brother. Boy,
oh my
boy.
God, what is that? What are we watching?
Uh-oh. You mean your literal little one, or was it Cooper that woke up?
No, that was my three-year-old.
Oh, there you go.
Exactly. He likes to take naps until he'll wake up right before dinner's ready, which is not always very optimal.
Well, kids are going to, they do what they do. So that's how that goes. Yeah.
So that's a woman who wanted to become a man, and she had her double mastectomy. Is that what we're looking at?
Well, I don't know. Yeah, because it looks so strange and off-putting. And in fact, the navel or whatever that device is behaves in a weird way. It doesn't seem to comport with like jiggle physics of the stomach fat around it. I don't know. It could be fake. It could be real. It could be a dude who needed a mastectomy, or it could be what they're claiming where it's
he's wearing lipstick and... God, that's so weird. It's really alarming to look at. I mean, it's jarring.
It's super off-putting. Yeah, here. Listen to this.
Oh, no.
Yeah, see, he just said, yeah, continue with the tranny surgery.
What? So, I mean, gosh, you would have the psychological disorders behind looking at yourself and enjoying that.
It is too much. It's
what
too much.
Earth, these people.
Yeah. This kid needs a helmet on and to be in some kind of special facility. And instead, the Jews are chopping her tits off.
But they're not, I mean, it's got to have, she must have parents somewhere that have. She doesn't look very old.
No, no.
And does
so
she
this
have
means
a fake penis in her pants?
I don't know. I don't know if it is packing. I have no idea. This is crazy.
It's so awkward. Like, and why would you want to do that? Like, what is she going to do with the bottom half of her body? It doesn't function.
Doesn't even work. I guess she'll attach like a pump or something, and then pump the Frankenfeature or something. Right?
Oh my God.
It's too much. Oh wow. Klaxon SS, good show, Davis. Love the ladies. Thanks, buddy. All right. He's supporting with 15. Yeah, it's just too much. Right. Nuremberg 2.0, I guess, isn't that the gimmick? That's what we're supposed to say. I don't know. This poor kid probably needs a lot of help in a lot of areas. I'm not certain cutting its breasts off was a good idea. Also, couldn't you Jews have given this thing some nipples? It looks really weird. That's part of the Frankenstein vibe you're getting. No nipples? I mean, come on, guys. I don't know. Jews, you've done it again.
They don't do it like when they do a radical mastectomy and they take all that away from a woman who might have cancer. They preserve the nipple usually. Maybe that's why it's so weird to look at, because there's no nipple there. I mean, they could have defeminized the nipple and left it there.
You would think.
Oh gosh, it's very hard to look at. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm gonna change the I'm gonna change the image. It is too much, isn't it? Oh my Lord. Wow. Ah, here we go. So here's the right. Mine's younger than yours. There you go. Yeah. She sleeps on her own schedule too. There's an FTJ baby right there. Oh,
is
look.
Is she your baby, holding, Davis?
Yeah, there she is holding today's calendar page. And I
you
scribbled FTJ on it. Yeah. Yeah. Busy
so
daddy.
They thought she was your granddaughter.
Oh, yeah. They can think whatever they want. Yeah. Klaxon SS says he's in a wheelchair. God damn it. Where's my penis? I want my penis. Oh, no. He's doing the internal monologue of that creature. It's too much.
It is too much. I don't know. I hate to laugh, but it's like, come on. What these Jews have done, it's so off-putting. It folds itself into comedy.
Yeah, the part that's really crazy about it, and I was thinking about this today and speaking to some friends about this. You know, you look at who we are as human beings, where we are as a culture and society, and we claim to be modern and progressive and worldly and educated and caring and human, right? And yet, so many can see what's happening in the world and find that acceptable and still at the same time feel that they have all those other traits. So, you know, this is the part that's so mind-boggling to me is how do you claim to be so sophisticated, so educated, so advanced, and yet watch a genocide happen and see, you know, if you really, even the smallest amount of research will surmise that Hitler didn't kill any Jews in a gas chamber, okay? And that it doesn't take much research to do that. It also doesn't take much research to go back and look and say, oh, gosh, we fought with the Russian communists against the Christian Germans, and we won. So who are we exactly?
Oh, we're the enemy. We're the monsters. When someone's looking for a monster in World War II, we're it.
We are it. And we're the monster now because – without America, none of this happens. It doesn't happen anywhere in the world. Without the American government, the American military, and the American taxpayers, none of this could happen. They wouldn't be able to go conquer lands. They wouldn't be able to do colonialism. And they certainly wouldn't be able to do anything that they're doing to the Palestinian people in Palestine. They would not be capable of doing this. If the funding and the support stops from America, and I don't know that it's going to, you know, I hear things that, oh gosh, we can hardly wait until Trump comes in there because he's just going to go take care of Iran. He's going to go in there and handle business, you know? And, you know, I hope that that's not the case. Although I suspect that at some point in 2017, and I've mentioned this before, that Donald Trump went around to 197 countries and they capitulated to what's happening in Palestine right now. They agreed that, you know, otherwise they were probably told, we're going to come attack you, or you're not going to be part of the New World Order, or, you know, who knows what they used as leverage to get all of these countries to come on board with this plan to evacuate all of their citizens, reduce their populations in these white countries, and everybody's going to be quiet while Israel goes and takes over the whole freaking world, beginning with the Middle East. I mean, and if that's not plain for everybody to see, if it's not plain for all of this sophisticated, educated Western world, that claim to have, you know, everything by the balls, but they don't have the foresight or the vision to see what Israel really is. What has happened to the mentality of the Western men? And this, it's, you know, I'm going to just reach out to Western men in general, white men, because no other men culture is going to come around and do this. We might be able to get other cultures, other colors, whatever, to come along and fight them with us, but we have to lead. We're the leaders. The white men are the leaders. If they don't lead us out of this, who the fuck's going to lead us out? White men, wake up. You are the heroes here. And if you don't do it soon, the whole world is going to be taken by these very, very violent criminals that are slowly, piece by piece, destroying everything one way or another. And it needs to be controlled. And the only way to control it is for everybody, every man that can and is willing to stand up and remove the people that are causing all of the tyranny and the treason within the United States government and stop this shit. Because it has to happen. It has to happen soon because I feel, I I never feel discouraged. I'm always hopeful that people, that men are going to stand up, because it's not going to be women. You're not going to have a bunch of women soldiers out there saving us. It has,
well, let's hope
we
not.
Need, yeah. We need strong leaders that are willing to fight the fight and you know, get dirty and stop this. Because yeah. I don't see it stop. It's not going to stop on its own. They're not just going to stop on their own. They're not just going to be like, oh, okay, well, we won. We're not going to kill anybody else. No. No, this agenda is going to keep going and going and going until they get exactly what they want, until everybody's brown. There's only a certain amount of population. My kids are following me around the house while I'm trying to talk. So I start to say something, and then I can't hear myself think anymore. Well, they're literally following me around my house. I have a big house, so it's very hard to escape them, but they're literally following me around.
Okay. Yeah.
And they threw me off the train, but men have to, I don't know how we get men to join together and do this. You can't even form a group. You know, more than two people is considered a gang in California. If you're two guys are standing around on the street, they call you a gang.
Oh yeah. Or an active club. That's when you demonize language.
I mean, they have taken this to these ridiculous places, and you know, I'm wondering, like, how ridiculous does it have to get before something happens? It doesn't take many good, strong men. I mean, we have 330 million people approximately in this country, but those people within those population, there's like 800 million plus weapons. Not to mention the ammunition that they can't beat us. Even a small number of us can't be beaten. And it really, there's got to be some way to reach out to help the military of this country understand what they're doing, and that they are the terrorists, and that they are killing innocent people, and that they are helping to kill innocent people, and that instead of teaching the Israelis how to shoot tanks or how to aim their airplane bombs, they ought to be turning the weapons on them and taking them under custody and arresting them for crimes against humanity.
That should be an easy ask.
Of directing that, you know, to the militaries of the world that are all cooperating in this disease that the Jews have put into their heads. You guys go in there. Why aren't you? And take the box off your head. You're going to walk into a wall.
There you go. All right. Well, let's hear from, you've said a lot. There's a lot to think about in there. So let's hear from Canadian Girl. No worries. You're okay. Let's hear from Canadian Girl if she's up and ready. In fact, let's pull up again. You need to go to this Give, Send, Go. It's Canadian Girl Arrested. So givesendgo.com/Canadian Girl Arrested. That's how you get there, in case you were wondering. And, yeah, she needs donos, because I don't think the state will stop coming. Go ahead, dear.
Well, they have a year to reinstate the charges, so they could decide that. You know, it also depends on what happens in the climate, right? So if it becomes like everyone's talking about mass deportation, it'll seem really stupid to be charging me and putting me in jail for that.
Yes, this is true. That's true. Things could change on a dime because of the zeitgeist of it all. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, it depends too. Like, you know, we had an Indian wipe out an entire hockey team of kids, right? Young men. The Humboldt crash in Saskatchewan there. And, you know, we get one more of those types of events, and Canadians lose their minds. There's no way I'll be charged with these things and they'll proceed with my charges, right?
Well, that's true too, right? It could be an overwhelmed system dealing with other things, so.
I mean, they're wiping us out on the road all the time. The truck drivers who, they don't actually have proper licenses. They just bribe their way into a license, and then they just run us off the road and crash into us. And, you know, hopefully Canadians are going to get sick of it and fed up and start demanding that these things go back.
Yeah, that's the only thing that's going to change it. Of course, the usual and very predictable, the bite back will occur. And we saw that where, if you're just having a protest, they call you fascist. They'll have one of the provocateurs show up with a brand new first time unfolded swastika flag they'll snap the image and quickly leave the area. And then, of course, you'll be demonized. All this is very predictable. But fortunately for us, yeah, their predictable behavior does make them able to be defeated. So we can do what we can. Clearly, you're not giving up. So that's a good thing. That should put some wind in men's sails, by the way. If we can have this.
I'm persistent.
This Valkyrie fighting for everyone's rights, really, in her own.
I just re-entered this room like 20 times. That's my persistence.
Yeah, you're not going away. You're not going away. Fucking Jews. Unbelievable. Yes. So what would you, obviously you can't predict the future, but what are your plans for next steps that you can say?
I'm going to do another poster. And that's my current plan. I like the poster thing. I think that it had this, I just wish everyone did them. I wish everyone did them every day. And then I don't know how they would fight against that. You know, everyone's holding up signs saying they want them to go back, you know?
Yes.
The people have spoken. We don't have a voice otherwise, but we can certainly take a picture, you know, and put it on social media, and there's our voice.
Yeah, we don't have any representation, so you have to represent yourself, mm-hmm. and that's a good way to do it. Very inexpensive. I like that. And, maybe, you know, if white people had a little bit of change, what you could do, because I'm pretty sure if you get really lucky and you raise a little chunk of change, and let's say your legal affairs work themselves out because of the zeitgeist or whatever events overwhelm the courts, you're still allowed to keep that, and you could fold that into a like a poster contest, because it's always the problem of white people not having money. So you could put together some prizes and make a poster contest. This thing would really take off. I say the goy very. You understand why I say this? I'm not literally saying it counts.
No, I gotcha.
As distinct from Jews and how they perceive us, it's a shorthand for when you say the goy love their frivolities. The goys love their contests. They love to do something and then get like a coffee cup. It's true. It really is absurd. But we have to know our own people just as we need to know the enemy. And our people love frivolous things. So if you make a little contest out of it, just a thought, if you're...
Well, I think we're competitive. That's why. We like to compete with each other.
Yeah. That'd be a way to sort of hack the way white people work for their own advantage, right? So you never know. But that's also, only... Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, if anyone's interested in some more Canadian content, on Rumble, you can go to Ferryman or Plaid Army. Those are really good resources, very enjoyable Canadian speakers regarding white nationalism.
Oh, yes. Okay, say those names again. Ferryman, I've heard of.
Yeah, Ferryman, he's fantastic. And also Plaid Army. And those are a couple of the Diagonalon guys. And then there's Jeremy McKenzie. So we've got like three top dogs. Yeah, they do a lot of shows on Rumble. And they very regular, like twice a week, three times a week, you can watch them.
Mm. Yeah, if I get lucky, I'll have Jeremy on. So I've asked Space Maidens if she can put me in touch, and she thinks she can. So that'd be great. Okay. In fact, I'd like to have both of them on. I think Base Maidens is an excellent guest as well. So it'd really be sort of a dream show to have Jeremy and Base Maidens on.
She's that'd so smooth. You know, I keep telling her I think she should get into like either politics or do her own podcasts, because she's a very smooth woman.
Yeah, I really enjoy her X Spaces. And boy, she should be on FTJ or some platform where she just sort of unloads for an hour and then, you know, puts that up as an MP4 or an MP3. Yeah, she's great.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah.
Agreed. So let's see. Is Always Honest still with us? Does she have anything to add to what we've said thus far? We can check in with her. I know she's got the parade of kids behind her. That's what we like to hear. And, of course, Cooper, he's usually in the way as well.
No, so, all right. Okay. Go ahead.
Oh, there you go. Excellent. Yeah. So any comments thus far on what we've said, or we could go to the next clip as grist for our mill?
We can go to the next clip.
All right, let's do it. We're still in the headspace of a PBS piece on TikTok, where we're noticing how this works. The noticing shall continue. It's not stopping. It's not going to go anywhere. So we'll go back to that in a moment. But first, I wanted to have everyone hear this AI translated, this killer piece that I especially like to play on White Nationalist Ladies Roundtable Night. So this is just a segment of the Hitler speech. P.S. This was the first speech upon his release from prison. Okay. And here it is. Listen to what Hitler says about the women for all of the He-Man Women Haters Club members.
It is not for nothing that you see so many women in our movement and here in this hall, even in a movement that has fought in the most masculine way. You see them here because the feeling correctly tells them this is about the future of our children and thus about the future of our Germanness. And then there is no more wavering, no faltering. No, the feeling is steady. It does not waver. And it does not give way. Believe me, a doctor may speak calmly of our hysterical women, but women once brought Christianity to the nations, and they will ultimately lead our movement to lasting victory. And wherever she was missing, not only the woman herself would be missing, but with her also the youth, and thus the future. Be sure of this. The movement that has the fewest women also has the least strength.
Yeah, it literally sounds like women are the secret missing ingredient. You might want to consider that the 3D printers of the master race are being denigrated by some fucking asshats in this movement. So, you know, proceed with caution, so to speak. All right. I wanted to get your take on this, always honest, because you know a lot more about Middle East stuff than I. Here we go.
The United States is taking more military action in the Middle East. U.S. Central Command announced today CENTCOM forces conducted multiple precision strikes against two Iranian-backed Houthi underground weapons storage facilities in Yemen. A release said the Houthis used these facilities to conduct attacks against U.S. Navy warships and merchant vessels in the southern Red Sea and Gulf of Aden.
So when it comes to the Houthis, I mean, nothing's changed about Operation Prosperity Guardian. That still remains intact and is there to continue to degrade Houthi capabilities, but also to protect commercial shipping and our ships and other allied ships and coalition ships that go through the Red Sea and the BAM.
Officials say there were no injuries to U.S. personnel.
So there we go. Assuming this proceeds as all Middle East wars have for the past 35 years, how about how do you think that's going to go for the U.S. In Yemen? How do you see that going?
So if they keep bombing Yemen, they'll do just fine. If they try to do any type of a ground insurgents or try to do naval exercises, I think they're going to have a really difficult time because the Yemeni military is big. It's strong, and they hate Israel.
Okay. This is all good news. Mm-hmm. Yes. These are the pirates.
I don't see them getting anywhere with Yemen. That's why they haven't really done a lot with Yemen. But Yemen themselves are getting hits in Israel all the time. And they've practically stopped and destroyed their entire economy by preventing them from receiving anything or shipping anything out. So Yemen is strong. They want the fight. They've been fighting it for a long time. I mean, this is nothing new to the Yemeni people. But they don't tolerate it. And they know that their land, they're not going to be able to come onto their land because they're going to fight. They have a real military. That would be a war, not a genocide.
Yeah. So to be clear, cause I don't really understand all the funding mechanisms, the Yemeni army is the Houthis, or the Houthis are like a multi Arab interest, or how does this work?
No, I think it's the Houthis are Yemeni. They're Yemen.
Okay, all right, there we go. Well, either way, they're handing Jews their own ass on a plate, which I think is great.
Other countries are handing Jews their ass on a plate too, and some of the things that I'm seeing and hearing is that, Jews who, particularly the ones that are the ages of the IDF soldiers, are trying to travel and take vacations around the world. But the countries, the citizens of the countries that they are landing in are doing citizens' arrests on these people. And they're having to, do emergency lifts out of different countries with these IDF officers, because the civilians, the people who live in the countries that they're frequenting or going to vacation in, are not tolerating their crimes against humanity. So they're doing physical, they're physically grabbing them off the streets as they are entering their countries. So they're
finding them. I'm going to have to use that one.
We added her to the spot and she wasn't muted. Continue.
Sorry about that. No worries.
Nightclubs, right? So we don't know where they're grabbing these people from, but it could be nightclubs in different places. But yeah, I totally fell off the train. Sorry.
No. I think you completed the answer. I'd asked about like what is the nature of the funding or the association of the Houthis to an official state like Yemen, and you believe it's sort of the official Yemeni paramilitary. So
I'm not sure. I just know that they are affiliated with the Yemeni people. So maybe they just call their military Houthi. Houthi could just mean military within their language. We have no idea.
They
twist and turn things in so many different ways. It could mean militia. It could mean army. It could mean who knows what, soldiers. And by the way, Congress did pass that IDF officers, IDF soldiers, can retire with full military benefits and payment, and the United States is going to be paying for that.
Oh boy, I need a link to that. I did look it up.
I'll send you the link. Well, yeah, they're hiding it. If they put that out there to the world, I think American people would be very upset.
Yeah, that needs to be
optimized. Look at our soldiers. Our soldiers are sleeping in streets. They're addicted to drugs. They're trying to recover from killing women and children in other countries that they're never going to recover from. They realize that they're terrorists. Why do you think they're in the streets? Why are they on drugs? This is why. Because they go to these countries and they're innocent and young most of the time. And then they find themselves blowing up women and children. And then they realize, oh my gosh, we're the bad guys. And then
that'll mess your wiring up. That'll fuck with your head, you know?
Yeah, so. Almost as much as the bulldozer guy from the Jew IDF soldier who now can't eat meat anymore because he ran over so many freaking bodies and living people.
Yeah, he can hear the crunching sound in his sleep.
Yes, he can't sleep and he can't eat meat. Well, good. For the rest of your disgusting life, I hope you live that way. And maybe someday you will be put out of your misery by somebody giving it back to you and running over your ugly body.
Yeah, sounds good to me. Let's do it now. But unfortunately, it's not.
Is that bed posting? I don't know. I don't even know what bed posting is. Is that saying so-and-so needs to go to jail?
No, you have to be. Oh. Yeah, it is when you say something when you go to. No, you're right about it. It is something when you say something and I guess you get in trouble or the FBI visits you or you go to jail. It's that kind of idea. But the official meaning of bed posting, it's quite specific. You have to mention a specific act against the specific individual. So the threat, the nature of the threat has to be quite specific. You can't just say, I hate Israelis and, you know, wish they'd be rolled over with a bulldozer. That's not fed posting. That's has to be much more specific. So we don't really do any fed posting.
We don't
really
do that. No.
No, we don't do that. That would be Luigi Mangione levels. And we're just waiting for the next Luigi to come along.
What happened to that story? Where did that guy go? What happened to him?
Oh, I don't know, but he'll probably be dead within the year like Tim McVeigh, so they get rid of them quick. Anyone with folk hero status, not that Tim McVeigh was necessarily deserving of that, but he did serve the feds some retribution for Waco, so it could have gone a different way for them. I don't know, but they got rid of him either way very, very quickly, if there's any truth to all that. So, yeah, I think they got rid of Luigi for the same reason. Oh, P.S., if you libtards who really want your gun control, all you have to do is have the next Luigi kill a bunch of Jewish Goldman Sachs CEOs, and you're going to get exactly what you want. That's how you get gun control. You kill more CEOs. What are you waiting for? Get on it, libtards. You know, you want your gun control so bad. That's how you do it. That's just how politics works. Don't blame me. I'm telling you how power works. That's how power works. They can shoot your kids in school. You're not going to get gun control. Nigger on nigger violence. You're not getting gun control.
they can shoot your mother at a funeral with a stray bullet. You're not getting gun control. You want gun control, libtards. You just got to get enough dead Jew Goldman Sachs CEOs. You'll have gun control tomorrow. So let's give a final word to Canadian girl. Go ahead, dear, while you're back.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so persistent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Final word. Make a poster if you're against immigration and you want your own country to be white. Throw a few stats right on there. Do whatever you can.
Yeah, he's only using one of his fans.
What's that?
Oh, sorry. I think Oh, no worries. I'm going to mute you. She was commenting about the fins. The poor fish are falling apart over there. So you go ahead. Have your final word.
So random. I was like, what? Fins? What? If you could. I think everyone should do that. Make a poster. Let your voice be heard. You don't have to do a protest. You don't have to do a march. All you need is like 10 seconds to take a photo. Take a photo outside. Put a mask on. Nobody knows who you are. Take a screenshot of the photo so that they can't get your digital footsteps to know the location or anything of it, and then share that, and we can have like a huge wave happen.
I like that. Yeah, that's a very good message. All right, well, we so appreciate having you on, and we support your cause, and people should do that. And of course, we should take your challenge, by the way, about making that poster. So there you go. The lovely and beautiful Canadian girl putting men to shame.
So
get out there. Thank you, dear. So, boy, oh boy, the throat's wearing it. So get out there, guys. Hold on a second.
sorry, my voice is very raspy.
Yeah, mine's falling apart. Yeah. I talked myself to death today. How long was I talking? 4 hours of Scorpio. Well, not really, maybe three on. And then now this tonight. Yeah, more than I usually talk. All right, we'll go ahead and hear from Always Honest, her final word. Oh, go ahead, dear.
Okay. Oh, you did unmute me.
Yes, I did.
They have ick on them. That's a fish disease. So my final word is for people to just keep speaking out and stay strong. Don't lose hope. And know that at some point there will be a group hopefully standing up against this horrible treason that we're all having to deal with around the world. And I just want to thank you for always being so diligent. And, you know, you have a family and you have a life, and yet you are so strong. And I really think that's lacking in people these days. So I feel really blessed and honored to be able to speak to you and be part of your streams. And I'm just very grateful for it. Thank you.
Oh, no need to thank me. You're the best. And so there's her final word. Always honest, also putting a lot of the dudes to shame. So, you know, man the fuck up. It's a good message, manning up. There's nothing wrong with that, to meeting that challenge. So we like that message. And as she says, it's only going to be us, which makes a lot of sense. The world has always hinged on this fulcrum of Aryan versus Jew. And so it's going to be the Aryan man that changes the world for the better, because it's always the Jew that changes the world for the worse. And you notice it's not going to be anyone else. It's just Aryan contra Jew. That's the story.
If Lucifer had a son, it would be
Davis Lerman.
This guy spews hate, racism. He's an anti-Semite.
Davis Lerman and the right perspective. The right perspective.
Right perspective.
He doesn't care what you feel. He just wants to know what you think. Davis Lerman.
Right Perspective Radio.
And it was so, so powerful.
Thanks for watching. Bye.
Davis Lerman.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
One purpose, one people, we are rising.
One purpose, one people, we are rising.
Fuck you, Tamey. 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 Fuck you, Tamey.